Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey.
Another big fun Friday.
Another Friday, huh?
I like Dan should just take off every Friday. So we can keep this thing going.
He's going fishing again.
No, I probably golfing.
Did you see the big fish he caught last time he was off?
He
last
did
Friday?
Catch a fish.
Oh yeah, it was huge too.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh. He put it on.
Was
Twitter.
It a trout or?
I didn't. He said some fish. I don't remember.
He's still not following me on Twitter, so I don't read his tweets. And some of his tweets are so.
Well,
like,
you lost your Twitter page.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
I got hijacked. That I don't know if that's happened to anybody else in the history of the world, but. I do believe it was a Democratic operative who was... No, they were sick
of
my
tweets. I know you told me who it was.
Yeah, I think it's either Chewy Garcia or Governor Pritzker.
Whoa.
But more likely Chewy. Yeah. And they went in and hacked. They took 15 years of my tweets.
Yeah.
Took all my followers. It's still up there.
Yeah.
So certain things... Because, I mean, it wasn't all work.
Right.
It was, you know, my son graduating first in his class in college. And, yeah. You know, pictures and moments.
So
and,
you lost all the pictures too?
No, they're still under somebody
else's. Oh, the tweets are still... Wait, some...
Immutable.
Yeah.
IMX immutable.
There it is.
Yeah. And I've tried everything. I tried an attorney. I've tried everything.
Nothing.
I tried. You gave me a number of your friend.
Did you talk
no.
to him?
No. Crickets.
Oh.
Thanks, John Anthony,
thanks,
for hooking
Adam.
A sister up there.
Okay. I'll talk to him again.
What's his name? Adam?
Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he could help me.
Yeah. I mean, he's helped a lot of people get their accounts back.
Well, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
I know. Well, not anything. Well, I got to keep it clean, but I would do anything
right,
to get that back because now I'm slowly building followers up all over again,
yeah.
And it stinks because
yeah.
I had 38,000.
But you still get a lot of impressions, though, when you tweet.
I do.
I even when I come in or I'll say I'm in with you, those you got trolls. Oh, my God. Your trolls are.
Oh.
They're vicious.
Oh, I know, because they've tried to take
yeah.
away my job, my
yeah.
other job that yeah. I have, my coaching job. They've tried everything.
Yeah.
When people say that the left... is not who you think they are,
yeah.
and that the left will cannot stand opposing voices.
Yeah.
They will stop. My son's history teacher called me a right-wing gas bag.
Wow.
But that was a great learning moment.
Yeah,
I think it was his sister. I don't know. He's a baseball coach, but whatever. I just kill him with kindness because I'm like, oh, that because it was the greatest moment
yeah.
ever because that woke my boys up
mm.
to, God, he doesn't even know her.
Right.
And all I was doing back then, it was back in 2020, you know, during COVID,
yeah.
was trying to say, like, hey, you're not going to die. Get back to school.
Right. That was after the spacesuit, right?
Yeah.
You wore the oh. spacesuit.
It was a Tyvek suit.
Spacesuit.
It was not a spacesuit. It was
Tyvek.
A Tyvek suit from DuMont.
Same difference.
DuPont. Excuse me. I don't know who DuMont is. And, yeah, gloves, booties. But anywho.
Seven masks.
So, you know, just moments like that, I just, you know, like, hey, just so you know, this is what your teacher called
yeah.
me on Twitter and. But I don't have any hard feelings against him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know me.
Yeah. That's why I stopped
people think, oh, my God, you can't handle this. Like, I handle people who hate me every day of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I pray for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't know me. If they know me and hate me, I give them more credit.
Yeah. You have more defenders than you do trolls, though.
You think so?
Oh, I see it. There are more people that defend you on Twitter than you have trolls.
That's good.
It's just the same trolls.
Yeah.
But I mean, people come from all over and defend you on Twitter.
Oh, that's
nice. What I've seen.
Well, thank you. If you guys,
I stopped tagging you though.
Why?
No, because I don't want to punch somebody in the face.
Oh, it's like
just
my
saying.
Friend Brandon, who's like, I can't do it. The
just
Facebook
saying.
Thing. Like, he's like, you're my friend. I can't mm-hmm. read that.
Yeah, because they wouldn't say the same thing that they say in that Twitterverse world to my face. They wouldn't
keyboard
say the same
cowboys.
Thing.
Yeah, that's what Dan Proft
dare.
Calls
they wouldn't dare say the same thing.
Oh, to your face?
Yeah, would dare.
No.
No.
And we're probably
I could be a little imposing.
What's your Twitter handle?
I got two. Black and Right and J. Anthony Speaks.
Black and Right Radio?
Black
or just
and Right. Black and Right AM.
Black and Right AM. And then? John Anthony Speaks. Mine
Jay
is
Anthony Speaks.
Jay Anthony?
Jay Anthony.
Mine is really, really hard. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
It's Amy Jacobson. Oh.
Wait, you were still able to get the same name?
Uh-huh.
Because it was taken.
Our program director, no. Right away, I'm like, secure it, secure it. So we secured it.
Oh.
Isn't that strange?
That's, yeah.
But if you want to follow me, it's at Amy Jacobson.
With an O or with an E?
With an O.
Oh.
Okay. But thank you for asking. Some people still spell my name wrong.
I know.
Like, oh, please. All right. So today's a big day. Take two of Brandon Johnson, the city council. They punted the whether or not we're going to spend $70 million more dollars for illegals.
Ouch.
$70 million more. And this is after we've already spent $300 million. I personally am sick of my tax dollars going to these people. Dan maintains that it's not the illegals' problem. It's the politicians who open the door to let them in.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
That's true.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. You can also text us on our text line. Do you have the text line up there? You can maintain
it's open.
That. It's 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. This one homeless man was at the meeting on Wednesday because, of course, they punted the issue. And now they're going to vote on it today, allegedly, all the aldermen, whether or not. Think about $70 million.
Just give me 10% of that.
Give me five. I'll take one.
I'll take one.
But this is what he, you know, is asking them, please take care of Americans first.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep last night worrying about this. I didn't sleep last night. Imagine, how do you talk to these people to have them understand that, hey, this is difficult to deal with, especially when you're a 43-year-old. Resident of the city of Chicago versus being somebody who just got here who being treated just like you should be treated, right? I'm just saying. So yesterday was my son's birthday. If I had housing, we could have spent it pleasantly. I didn't speak to him. His name, Ian Watoba Sims. I actually have an order of protection. His mom got it.
My son is
a star pupil and a star athlete in Evanston High School. However, his father support him to the utmost, and yet I'm attacked over this.
Wow.
I'm attacked maybe because of my views and the fact that to point out that our government, our city government, now that I understand, has basically turned their back on Black Chicagoans. Yeah. Y'all are implementing our demise here in the city.
Implementing their demise.
Wow.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Brandon Johnson last week said the most ignorant. Like sometimes he'll say something and I'll let it slide or just think, oh, he's so young and green. I can't wait for him to, you know, find his sea legs.
Yeah.
This was just too much. He's blaming still Texas and the Republicans and Governor Abbott.
So since this mission has begun, as everyone in this room knows, we have a governor, the state of Texas, that is determined to create chaos. Because of the structure and the direction of my administration, we have avoided that. From clearing out police districts, airports, creating an operation that's centered around people's humanity. And so over the course of these first 11 months, I've gone to the city council multiple times, $51 million, $150 million in my budget for this fiscal year, including $95 million that, again, all required city council approval. We anticipate that the governor of Texas will continue his tirade against this country. And so a part of my budget structure, we put together some reserves in the event of an expedited flow of more migrants. You know, as far as how it relates to public safety, our deputy mayor, Gatewood, along with the superintendent, including our alders, we have been working collectively, collaboratively to address some of the current concerns that you've articulated.
So the bottom line is even the Democratic mayor of El Paso is sending people here.
Wow.
Eagle Pass, Texas is a population of 30,000 people. Do you think that they can handle The 9 million that have crossed, or at that location, it's about 6 million.
No.
There's no way.
No.
And not even the surrounding communities, because there are no surrounding communities.
You know what was missing from that speech?
What?
Biden Mayorkas. He made not one mention of them allowing this to happen. Not one mention. And he had an opportunity to change that. Remember? I thought they had a vote about getting rid of the sanctuary city status
in
Chicago.
Failed.
Oh, yeah, but you
want to
continue.
They didn't even pass their committee.
But you want to continue to blame Governor Abbott. Okay, yeah, makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
And the reporters in the room aren't even pushing back.
Right.
Like when Governor Pritzker was, said the same pablum, I'm like, sir, with all due respect, it's the Democratic mayor of El Paso. And I had sound bites from the mayor of El Paso saying, we can't, we're busting at the seams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have friends still because I used to live there. They were in their kids' gyms and auditoriums while the kids were in schools, and they were like, these people aren't vetted, so she's homeschooling her daughter.
I don't blame her.
And I don't know if they're still there.
Yeah.
And when are we getting our park districts back? Dan doesn't like when I talk about that, but it's true. All right, let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Amy, and good morning, John. It's always good to hear you guys together.
Thank you.
Yeah, I try to never miss the opportunity to call when you guys are together. It's like I enjoy your show a lot in that. But anyways, on the weekends, like Saturday, John, is there a station that's in Michigan to catch you on?
No, you can just catch us online,
Yeah, download the app and you can catch us.
Yeah.
You can be anywhere in the world.
That's what I said.
I was even in France when I was listening to the show.
Yeah.
France. Yeah, do something like that. Anyways, on the subject matter, listen, I've seen this coming a long time ago. It's all about the politicians and everything. And here's the biggest problem with the politicians. That's all phony baloney, the Democrat, Republican, everything. Now you got an exception that might be like, there's probably a handful. Marjorie Taylor Greene would be like an example. But other than that, Democrat, Republican, these are traitors. They're traitors to our country. They're traitors to Americans. They're all this kind of stuff. That's why Mike Johnson, he's a good example of a traitor. Like, but here's what's really bad about him. He tried to also cover like being like a conservative, but also a Christian and everything. I can't judge him on his thing, but he doesn't act like a Christian. He acts like a traitor. He acts like a thing. All this stuff that's going on where it's constantly, we constantly lose ground with regard to being like our freedom. And you've hit both subjects, two important subjects, Amy and John this morning, where they spy on us and they go onto our sites. They take us down. They basically listen to it. Then they can bring the illegals in. The illegals can't commit any crimes. They're basically all good. They try to make all new laws for Americans. This thing is so messed up. It's beyond even,
you can't even really imagine. It's not beyond. All right, thanks, Craig. Let's go to Rich real quick in Indiana. It's not beyond, beyond hope.
Right.
We all have to vote in November.
Whew.
And we're voting for the Trumpster. All right, Rich in Indian Head Park, quickly, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Good morning, brother.
Everybody keeps blaming Abbott for having all these illegals come to these major cities. The one person that they need to blame is Biden. If these borders are closed, everybody has to look. Look at all the lives that would have been saved, all the money that would have been saved in the country because of his open border policy. It doesn't make any sense to keep blaming Abbott and Texas, the governor, when it's all on the shoulders of Biden and Mayorkas. And look at what they did the other day by not even listening to the impeachment trial and dismissing that. So you know where they're coming from. This is all about power and nothing else. It's kind of getting ridiculous, and I think this is going to come to a head pretty soon. People are really fed up about this.
All right,
thanks,
Rich.
And you guys have a nice day.
You too. Thanks for calling.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, Signature Bank.
If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony.
Hey.
From Black and Right Radio, which could be heard here on AM 560 on Saturdays from 4 to 7
That's
p.m.
That's right.
You know what? I should call in sometime.
You've been saying that since I've, you know, been filling in with you, but that's, you know, it's okay.
Well, why don't you call me?
Oh, well, I've interviewed you before.
I've called in.
Yeah.
When did I call in? I was
twice.
At some rally,
yeah.
Some protest.
Yeah, it's done it twice.
During COVID.
Yeah. And I interviewed you after some Pritzker thing during COVID, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said something to you or about you.
And no. I interviewed you. Oh, and I.
Yeah. Sean Thompson.
I was so sad. I went in the corner and cried.
Are you still going to the press conferences?
You know what? I'm not right now because I am taking care of their children that they've locked out of gyms and park districts.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Having open gyms where anybody in Chicago can come. It's really affected my team this year because every Friday and Saturday, and I mean religiously, you got these kids that are gym rats.
Yeah,
I was a gym rat. Love it. Like they just want a ball in their hands.
Yeah.
That has been taken away from them for almost 7 months. What? They keep, why are you laughing at me? Just, and they keep saying that they're going to open the Broadway Armory. Open the Broadway Armory. Open Gage Park. Please just do it. And now we have the summer coming up.
Uh-oh. DNC convention? It ain't happening.
Pardon me?
It's not happening. You're not getting your field house back. That's what we used to call them, field houses.
Right. Well,
you're not getting your field house back.
Excuse me.
Nope.
Excuse me, okay. Mr. Anthony. We're going to get that back.
No. Nah.
But you know what? Because now that we have the DNC, guess what's going to happen?
What's that?
They're sending more illegals here.
Oh.
To prove a point, because the whole world is going to be watching Chicago. And if they think for a second that they're going to keep the Broadway Armory and other places away from the kids and the senior citizens who use that place on a daily basis, they got a thing coming.
I heard
we should protest like they did outside of Amundsen Fieldhouse.
Yeah. I heard former Superintendent Eddie Johnson on the show. Was it last week you had him on? I love the way he addressed that. And I think because Chicago PD is a very professional organization, I think they'll probably be ready, but I think there's going to be a lot of surprises during that DNC convention with Antifa and all the likes that are going to come here.
Yeah, and they promise, excuse me, hold on.
The expressway was just the beginning.
And all those, by the way, an update for everyone. All those people who shut down the Golden Gate Bridge, they let them all out yesterday.
Yeah.
No charges. Mm. All charges dropped.
Yeah. Amy, they should have arrested them right away.
They arrested 54 people in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting. I'm calling my
Did you see
people.
How they were connected?
Oh, yeah. They weren't going to let go.
Barbed wire and concrete. And I'm like, what the heck? They've gotten creative.
Well,
now.
They're organized.
Yeah.
So while we're sleeping, they're planning.
Yeah.
And they're bussed there. But also, how they do it is they have six cars, three in front, three in back. And so they plan to drive down the highway together and then boom, stop. And then let people in the car out. And then somebody, I don't know, maybe George Soros, I don't know who is, buses the people, the other protesters, and they come down the hill and then they sit in front of them.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to stop. This is Deanna Ottman. She was one of the protesters. Because then after O'Hare Airport, then later on, to be more disruptive, they shut down parts of the loop that night. And punches were thrown with police because they were hitting police with poles and Palestinian flag. Mm-hmm. This is so stupid. But, you know, this is why they're doing it.
Our families are dying. Our people are dying. Our families have been displaced multiple times.
Benjamin Netanyahu isn't listening to you.
No.
He doesn't care if you shut down O'Hare Airport.
No.
He doesn't care if you shut down the South Loop at a time when, you know, when people get off work and they can't get home to their families after working a hard day.
You see how quickly they disperse anything that happens in Israel like this? You can't do that in Israel.
Well, they're not going to stop. Yeah. It's going to be the summer of hell. Dan and I were trying to get a slogan because remember last year or 2 years ago was the summer of love and summer of joy.
Oh.
Summer of love with Seattle. Summer of joy with Chicago. Remember Mayor Life?
Summer of peace is coming then.
Summer of what?
Summer of peace.
No, peace.
Oh, come on.
Summer of chaos. Summer of hell.
They describe peace differently than we do.
Because they're vowing to make our lives hell.
Yeah. We will not stop until there is a permanent unconditional ceasefire, until the United States halts military funding to Israel.
Are you going to be here in the summer?
No. I'm not coming to Chicago. I mean, I'll be coming to the station, but I'm not going nowhere near Chicago during the DNC convention. Not at all.
They pushed the opening of school back a week because of the DNC.
See?
So, and I had a friend who said, hey, can I come to a Cubs game on August 19th? I'm like, heck no.
Yeah.
No one's. First of all, that game is going to be all politicians that are here for the DNC.
Right.
And I don't want to go where there's big crowds.
So they're forecasting where they'll be? So that the Antifa people can come to these sports games too.
Well, they could go. They know there's certain events that are going to be held in Chicago, if they can't get around the United Center, what else would you do?
Yeah, well, when I went in the 2016 Republican convention in Cleveland, we had some incidents, but it wasn't really crazy.
No, I was there too.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy,
and it wasn't because it
was shut down.
Everything's going to be shut down. It's going to be like when NATO was here. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had so much fun with NATO. Huh. I'll tell you why in a second. But they put, just not barbed wire. We're talking humongous 8-foot-high metal
blocks.
Fences.
And those big old bricks.
And you have to get through one entry point. Mm-hmm. You know, as a reporter, as a broadcaster, you had to go through one entry point, then another, and then another.
And then to get into the convention, remember they had like these monitors there. They was like looking to see if you had any bomb material on you and stuff. Like, remember when you had to go through that? That was... They did it. They did it right in Cleveland.
Oh, that's not going to be fun. All right. Anyway, let's go on to furries. Do you know what a furry is?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, there's a backlash. There's been a furry protest, a walkout at a middle school in Utah, suburban Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. And this is what the kids said. This is why they're doing it.
So are they wearing a mask every day?
Yes. But every time they go, they're always just wearing a mask. But the principal finally stood up and banned those stuff.
But they still wear them every day.
Yeah, they don't get in trouble. The principal doesn't get to make them get in trouble.
Yeah.
All the principal says is just be kind, be nice, be nice. And then...
What's the point of dressing up like a furry?
I think they're so cool that they want to
get a lot of attention.
They
want attention. So people can come at them and just look at them and think that they're so cool.
Okay.
Also,
are you guys going to be in trouble for walking out of school today?
No, maybe.
We might.
Your parents know you guys are out here?
Yes!
Okay.
They attack us. If they bite us and we just kick them, we get in trouble.
They attack us.
They attack us and we get in trouble.
And how else do they attack you guys?
They either bite us, they scratch us,
they pounce on us. They pounce on us.
And then
hey, little tip for that reporter.
Yeah.
Talk to one kid at a time.
Right. Is that the East Coast?
Somewhere
on the East Coast?
No. The Salt Lake City.
Oh, so, yes,
the
suburb of Salt
Lake City.
That's right.
You know where Governor Spencer Cox talked about his pronouns?
Hey.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am Governor Spencer Cox, and I have the pleasure today of hosting the first One Utah student town hall. And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his.
Oh, God. Who cares?
His gay, as Dan Proft once said. All right, but back to the furries. So, they're biting kids. This is why they walked out, because they'd had enough. Because there's this group of kids that wear a tail and some claw paws.
I thought this wasn't real, though. Remember the media was saying it wasn't real?
Oh, no, this is real. They're saying that they scratch them, bite them, bark at them, chew on sticks. The furries are also reported to have a kitty litter box in the bathroom. And, of course, this has sparked debate, and even some parents are not too happy with this.
There was some kids dressed up as animals, and I heard that another kid got bit by one of them. Back when I went to school, you know, you couldn't dress that way. You couldn't do certain things. And I think it kind of needs to go back a little bit. Like, I know kids need their own personalities, but it's ridiculous when kids are dressing like animals and licking and biting people. I just don't think that's okay.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
Amy, you do you remember the DSM-4, the diagnostic, and I think it was Statistical Manual of Medical Disorders?
No.
Why have we gotten rid of that? And I mean, this is a textbook case of a DSM-4, somebody having a delusional disorder. And to continue to perpetuate this?
Right, teachers and superintendent, they're allowing this to happen. Here's one of the furries who, they were in a public spot in school, and they were videotaping her because she's a walking distraction. She has a tail again and paw claws.
You guys cannot record me without my permission!
Wow.
Middle schooler. Okay, So let me introduce Strudel. Strudel is a furry in Utah, because they have these furry conventions and all this stuff. Strudel doesn't like that these kids are doing that because it's giving furries a bad name.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing. Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
Yeah.
You should see this video of these kids. I mean, the fact that they should be focusing on learning. They should be focusing on having a dress code. A dress code would just, but instead, what do school officials do? They're just, everyone's got to be nice to everybody. Be kind.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school. And we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
You allowing these furries to attack and bark and do all these things to the
and
kids.
And bite and scratch.
And bite, but you want all the kids to get along. It's not going to happen.
Well, that's why they walked out, because they were sick of being attacked and nobody was doing anything. Yeah. There's no adults in the room to say, hey, you know what? That's fine. You can dress up. You can play cat. You can play
at home.
At home. But when you get to school, take that tail off.
Yeah.
But in Utah, they're so, like, the Republicans that are in Utah are so squishy.
Yeah.
And I know Governor Cox is up for re-election soon. He's being primaried.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. People in southern Utah do not like him at all.
I'm so glad my three youngest kids don't have to worry about this because of the school that they attend.
And where do they go to school?
Families of Faith Christian Academy.
All right.
We just don't tolerate that. And if they did, I would pull the kids out immediately. But I know my Pastor Bland and now the newly installed Pastor John Sidgie won't allow that to happen.
And I'll tell you that the school official, though, says, oh, some of those are rumors, you know, the biting and the scratching.
It actually is not something that's been occurring. In fact, a lot of the information that's been put out there is completely incorrect and inaccurate. And so we're still trying to get on top of that.
Okay, and so as a former reporter, still a reporter, the reporter should say who was bit, how many kids were bit.
Right.
Is there a litter box in the girls' bathroom? And they didn't ask, like, what is being falsely reported?
Right.
That's what you ask.
Because they said
you don't have him say some of these are exaggeration. No, you ask, what is being falsely reported? Is there a kitty litter box in the girls' washroom?
Right. Right. You report that.
Right.
But they're not. Because they also, they said
Easy.
That. Didn't they say that the kitty litters and that none of that is true, right?
Oh, yeah. And then you hear rumors like Algonquin High School has kitty litter box and the...
Have any of the kids taken pics of them?
That's what I said. I go, well, I know somebody who is a student there. I said, well, that's fine. They can say anything they want.
Right.
But I need pictures.
Right.
Go in there then and take a picture. Because when they started putting tampons dispensers up in men's washrooms at middle schools and in high schools, people take pictures and send them to me. Ugh. But you know what? It's state law now.
Yeah, it is. I know.
That's so sick.
I know. There's no way.
They're using them as little rockets.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560. The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So, I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630. And learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony, and
hey,
Dan Proft. And I'm so sorry we missed it, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
This is for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, no, you left it in the studio.
Yeah, I did.
And I just tried to give this to Quinn because his son's birthday is Tuesday, and that's when you said, that's my birthday balloon.
Richard Porter brought those in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and a nice chocolate mousse raspberry cake.
Oh, that's in the fridge.
On Saturday, yeah, it was good.
Are you still going to take that cake home?
We'll see.
Okay, because I saw, I opened up, I have not been in the company refrigerator for a while, and I opened it up and I was like,
what is that?
What is that? I thought maybe it was Jeannie Ives' birthday, but it's your birthday. Well, happy birthday. How old are you?
I'm 48.
You're not.
48.
Why do we have all these young people?
I feel 70, though.
Oh, you do? Maybe you should take more balance of nature.
I have been taking. I have them in my bag right now.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right. So a jury has been seated in the President Trump hush monies criminal probe. And I got to tell you, they still need five alternates. So they want, you know, 12 jurors, one alternate, five more alternates. And one said yesterday that he couldn't be impartial after he said he could be impartial. One dismissed juror was asked if Trump could get a fair shake. And here is her answer. Her name is just Kat.
I'm not sure about that. Really, why? You know, everybody has biases and, you know, stereotypes in their mind, so you have to be a really, you know, deep and you know, fair person, which is very hard to do, right?
Yeah.
In order to serve as a juror. I hope they do. I mean, this is justice, right?
312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line 646-36. Type in at DA, then a quick comment. So yesterday, the first day they brought in 96 jurors, 48 were immediately sent home. And then yesterday they brought in 40 plus, and when they asked, could you be impartial, half of them raised their hands and were sent home right away.
Yeah, as they should. I mean, how does he ever get a fair shake there?
I mean, this trial is historical.
It is.
You're deciding whether or not a former president, you know, committed a criminal act.
Yeah. Yeah. This still doesn't stop him from running for president, though.
But listen to this. The jurors, when they get sent in the room, they don't know that they're there for the Trump trial.
Yeah.
And Kat was a little shocked at that.
I was shocked. I was sitting on the second row, like 6 feet away. And when I realized that Trump is there, I was like, oh, wow. I couldn't believe it.
What about the people around you?
Everybody was shocked. Everybody was frozen. No, like frozen, no expressions, nothing. We were all, you know.
And then, of course, she commented, you know, how did he look to you? Now we're going to crazy town, silly town here.
You know, he looked less orange, definitely, like more yellowish, like yellow. Nothing else than that. He looks, he doesn't look angry or I think he looks bored. Like he wants this to finish and go do his stuff.
And that woman just became an American citizen last August, and this was her first trial ever.
Wrote.
What did you write?
Just became a citizen.
Just became.
How can she be impartial? What is it about?
If she's never voted in a presidential election,
right?
But she just knows that there's no way he.
But
can
where
get
was that
shake.
Follow-up question from the journalist? What do you mean you're not impartial? You can't be impartial. Why? You know, I haven't heard them ask these people these type of questions.
Well,
why
she,
can't you?
She
be
does realize that this is a historical case.
It's a historical case, and you know this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So it was weird, like the whole atmosphere, like, you know, such an important case at the same time. Yeah.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. So yesterday, two jurors were dismissed. One was a female nurse, and this judge is supposed to be protecting the jurors' identities, but the reporters are there listening to jury selection. They could do it in a private back room, so they know she's a nurse from Westchester County. Then, you know, they know who she voted for. Well, she asked to be taken off the jury because she said her friends were able to identify me based on how I was described. The enormity and the consequences of this case are too much. Because they are.
If
this jury
inundated.
Convicts him, which they should not do, which this case should actually be thrown out because Alvin Bragg's acting like a federal prosecutor instead of a DA.
Yeah. Well, there's a cop and a lawyer on that, right?
Yeah. But another one was sworn in as a juror, and they found out that he had a conviction in Westchester County in the 90s that he didn't even admit to on the jury application form.
Yeah, I saw that.
So now we have liars. Now we have scaredy cats. Because my biggest fear is that some, you know, Democrats are going to act like, oh, no, I can be impartial.
Right.
And they're not going to be impartial.
Well, just like one of the BLM people got on the George Floyd case. You remember that?
Oh, that's right.
It was a BLM. How the heck did that happen? But if you're a cop.
You mean on Derek Chauvin's?
Derek Chauvin's case, yeah. But if you're a cop and an attorney, I mean, you have to base it based upon the facts. Now, I could personally be objective. I could be.
Do you think you could be objective?
Of course. Because when I want to see what the facts of the case say. What are they trying to charge him with?
They said that he misrepresented a business filing for a crime, but nobody knows what the crime is.
What the crime is. Right. Right. And he was talking to who? His attorney, right?
Yes.
So he filed it as what? Legal expenses,
and
right?
Exactly. And he didn't take this, you know, hush money out of a campaign fund.
Right. And if you're trying
to his own personal money.
And if you're trying to hide, you're going to find somebody else to pay for it.
Well,
simple as that. And even though Michael Cohen paid for it and he just reimbursed him.
Right.
That he reimbursed his legal fees.
And Michael Cohen is going to be the star witness, and he's a convicted felon.
Yeah.
And a known liar, but Jonathan Turley says it best.
I love him.
Everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. They took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. And it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
And then he has documentation from Stormy Daniels that said that never happened.
Right.
I mean, how is this
Trump being charged? Said he didn't sleep with her. She said
he didn't.
She didn't sleep with him.
But now she's saying it did happen.
Andrew McCarthy.
What people really ought to be troubled by about this is Bragg isn't just trying to enforce federal campaign finance law. He's making up his own federal campaign finance law because the two federal authorities that actually do have jurisdiction to investigate these, the Justice Department and the Federal Election Commission, both looked at this and decided not to proceed against Trump because these are not campaign expenditures, number one. And number two, even if you assume for argument's sake that they were, the next reporting period after the Stormy Daniels payment, the non-disclosure agreement, wouldn't have been until after the 2016 election. It would have been in 2017. Bragg's theory here is that Trump violated his version of the campaign finance laws in order to steal the 2016 election. That doesn't make sense legally or factually.
It's a stretch.
I'm sorry. I think they should just stop the silliness. Yeah. Because while Trump's locked down in a criminal courtroom, Biden's out there campaigning. He's been spending the whole week in Pennsylvania. Well, he's trying. So he had an event in Scranton, and nobody was there.
Yeah.
And a reporter even asked him, like, hey, you know, we're driving down the street coming to this event. We don't see one Biden sign. Yeah. It's all Trump signs.
Yeah. Did you see the staged ice cream or whatever?
Oh, no. He tried to pull a Trump.
Yeah.
And go into a fast food restaurant. Yeah. There's a woman and her child looking at him like, move along.
Yeah. And the handler's coming up to the cashier. Hey, he's going to pay you. Just take the tip and all that. Have you heard that audio?
No. What happened?
Oh, yeah. That was basically staged that whole thing. Biden coming in and was prepping the cashier and everything. Yeah.
Well, my favorite, we got to play this again, is Uncle Bossy.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this guy.
Cannibalism.
This guy makes up stories that his uncle was eaten by other people. Okay. He's at a campaign event talking about inflation. And the dude says this.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bozy. My Uncle Bozy. He's a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals, for real, in that part of New Guinea. And then my son volunteered to go to Iraq.
Okay, so all right, so that single engine plane that he's talking about, crashed into the ocean.
Oh, it didn't.
According
crash?
To the war record. Oh yeah, and
the cannibals didn't get him.
No, Uncle Joe or Uncle Bosey, who is the grandpa, but they called him Bosey, did not get eaten alive or eaten after death. But the best part is the people behind him. While he's talking about, he was eaten by cannibals.
Oh God!
One guy behind him was like,
"What?
I was here for talking about the economy.
Come on,
you who ate who?
Come on! Come on!
It's a classic. Oh, and he's sticking with the lie, even though the White House handler said that he misspoke.
Hey, it's Joe Biden.
Oh yeah, please. No, so seriously, Joe Biden, keep campaigning.
Right.
This is going really well for you. And then yesterday, when he was walking out of his childhood home. He was grabbing this girl's hair. I'm like, oh, keep little children away from him. Seriously, he is. Have you seen all those videos of him sniffing and grab that girl's nipple?
Yeah. What? No, I didn't see that.
This little child, he put his hand right on her.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty. Don't act like he's a doddering old fool. He knows exactly what he's doing. All right, but
he has new coats.
Trump, by the way, realizes that, you know, he's locked down in this criminal courtroom. Can you imagine sitting there? Day after day, hour after hour.
He looks tired, though.
I would be, too.
I'm supposed to be in New Hampshire. I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. These are all stories. This is over the last few days. From legal experts, this is Wall Street Journal editorial, but all of these are stories from legal experts saying how this is not a case.
Trump came out with a stack of headlines.
Yeah.
You know, because he can't make any disparaging remarks against the judge, but he was reading the headlines, even left-leaning papers saying there's nothing here, though.
Right.
But, you know, Trump's we need to knit him a quilt. Yeah. It's cold in there.
I've been here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room, freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this, and this is your result. Look at that. Each one of them is a story. And it's very unfair, very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess, and you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done in his family.
And it's so weird. They won't let the reporters. It's so echoey. He's in a like it looks like he's in a cage,
like a rotunda or somewhere.
Well, yeah, and they don't will not allow the reporters to put a microphone in, so that's why it's
echoey,
cavernous, echoey sound. Yeah. But come on,
Amy,
just let them at least put one mic up there.
Amy, imagine for 1 second that this is Barack Obama going through this. What do you think the mainstream media, the Department of Justice would have shut this down right away?
Oh, yeah.
Would have never even got to this
point. Well, the feds passed on this case. They said there's no there there.
There's no there there.
But Alvin Bragg's trying to make a name for himself. And Trump even said yesterday, you know, people are dying on the streets of New York and he's worried about this.
Yeah.
And he's spending his time on me.
Yeah.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Bob in Buffalo Grove. Oh, he has an interesting story. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Amy, and good to hear you, John.
Hey, Bob.
I've got a slight connection to New Guinea, so I've been following that story.
Okay.
My 80 years ago, my father was stationed in the South Pacific and occupied with his troops New Guinea, and was in the jungles and interacted with those so-called cannibals.
Really?
Yeah, and then he spent about a year and a half in New Guinea in the jungles. And then when MacArthur took over and returned to the Philippines, the forces in New Guinea moved over back to the Philippines. But I got pictures. It was amazing. He kept them away from me, but of the, quote, indigenous people who were very, very interesting dressed.
Did they eat Uncle Bossy?
I don't think so.
Did they eat people? Did they eat your father, Bob?
They didn't eat my, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, what did they, what, how were they dressed?
Well, the women were topless.
Boobies. Oh, my gosh. No, not that. You can see that at
yeah, they were, you know, they, you know, I don't know what, have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Cannibalism.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Don't stare at those photos too much. You might get in trouble with your wife.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. It's like a sunny day. We're going to have a high of 57 degrees. Sunshine and patchy clouds.
Wasn't it just 80?
Yes. So, and then it's going to be 36 degrees tonight. Oh, I have to turn my heat back on. Darn it. I love saving money.
Okay.
Because sometimes you have to live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a reality for more of us than we care to admit, but it's so true.
That's true.
With more on that, let's welcome back to the program our very good friend, Jim Urio, host of the Futures Edge podcast and the owner of Brandt's in Palatine. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you. I mean, thanks for having me.
Well, Justin and I were just talking during the break about how much we miss your restaurant. And I'm debating. He says he's a ribs guy.
I have to miss it.
Pardon? I know, but he's a ribs guy, and I'm a burger and a taco person. Have you tried his tacos?
I've been there.
Have you been?
Oh, well, yeah.
Have you tried the tacos?
I don't think I've had the tacos.
Do you still have those fish tacos?
Oh, they're good. Yeah, I argue that our fish tacos are the best anywhere.
Okay, now watch it now.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not like fish tacos. That sounds weird.
I love fish tacos.
Oh, they are the best.
Which fish? What kind of fish?
Well, I don't know. What
are cod.
Okay. Good old cod.
Yeah. Okay, I got to go try it.
What about your burger?
So the burger it's a proprietary blend we get from Chicago Stockyards. It's always ground the night before. It's always fresh delivered. It's like this blend of deep chuck. It's a whole thing that has been mapped out over the years to get us what we think is the perfect burger. So again, and some might disagree that it's the perfect burger or not, but that's why you come in and give it a try. Don't order it any more than medium cooked.
All right.
Oh,
Branson,
yes.
Branson Palatine.
Like
how is business going, by the way? In this economy,
so in the smaller restaurants are having an extremely difficult time. Oh. So our restaurant, I'll just pick out arbitrary numbers because I don't want to go too far into the finances of it. But 2.5 years ago, if we needed to make like the first 30 grand that we made in a week, was just to cover our expenses. Now that number shot up to closer to 50 grand in 2.5 years' time. And that's just before we make a penny. So we want to still be the affordable option for everyone. So we've raised prices like 20%. I'm sure you've gone to other restaurants that have raised prices closer to 35 to 40%, which is what the standard would be to have, you know, the same amount of income. But we are willing to make this a long game thing. We're not going to raise prices and push people away. We'll just make less in the time being. But people will think I'm saying just inflation. Inflation is about 60-70% of it, but just the different regulations, the different taxes, it is as if the government is trying to put all small businesses out of business. And again, our friend Carol Roth wrote the book, The War on Small Business, and she's going to testify in front of Congress about that. And it what you're seeing is ridiculous, and it just makes you scratch your head and wonder why they're doing this.
Well, listen to this. This was somebody asked President Biden, if he was concerned about inflation while he was in Pennsylvania, and here's his answer.
He learned that paying taxes was something people who work for a living did, not him.
That's not the thing, but sorry. Well, basically, he said, inflation's been stubborn, but the fact is prices are up 19.4% under Biden, with inflation that's been on or above 3% for 36 straight months. So what are the real inflation numbers, Jim Yurio?
So the CPI, people have to understand that the CPI has been changed twice in the last 50 years, once in the 80s, once in the 90s. And if the same methodology was used from the 80s, when we were at the height of the inflation about a year ago, it would have been coming in between 15 and 17% year over year. They changed it. I could go deep into how they changed it, but it has to do with substitution. They conveniently substitute things in when they start to get too pricey, and hedonic adjustments. Look that up, people. Just to give you an example of it, if your car has like a rear view camera, which you don't have a choice in, and that costs $800, and you're getting that when you buy a car, they're not counting that as inflation, despite the fact that you didn't want a rear-facing camera. But there's all kinds of those things built in the CPI. But just to put it in some perspective, like just before the pandemic lockdown, since then, chicken is up 31%, beef up 32%, gas up 36% just before in 2020, and the average salary required to buy just the medium price home has jumped almost 50%. Since 2020, because housing inflation is through the roof. So again, when Joe Biden comes on and said inflation is going down, he wants people to believe that means prices are going down. No, it's still an increase that compounds yearly. So if it's 3% this year, 3.5% actually, that's on top of the probably 7% average last year. Oh. So this is it is destroying people. And by the way, it is done intentionally. And I know this is becoming a little bit of a rant, but this is something I feel pretty strongly about. It has been done intentionally. They told us for 10 years why they wanted and needed inflation. And it was kind of to put it simply, to bail out debtor governments like the state that we live in. They can only deal with their debt by inflating our way out of it. So they did it on purpose. And the federal government is still doing it on purpose right now. We are increasing the federal debt $1 trillion every 100 days right now. We've never seen anything like this as far as deficit and debt spending. And people, they keep coming out and telling us how good the economy is. Well, then why in the heck are you spending so much money? I'm sorry. Am I going to get invited back if I go on?
No. This is great. I love learning.
Okay, good. Well, they're doing it on purpose. That's the takeaway. When people go to the store and they see the inflation, the government needed inflation. Now, the Fed is fighting inflation, and every time the Fed keeps rates high to try to break up demand, aggregate demand, the federal government just presses the gas pedal as far as spending goes. So I think that's got to frustrate the heck out of Jay Powell, because I think he's basically a good guy. I don't feel he's competent at all, and I could spend an hour bashing the Fed for the things that they missed. But I think he's trying to do a good job. Well, at the same time, the federal government seems to not be trying to do a good job through their spending. But then you ask yourself, is inflation a killer at the election? And then you think, well, they must have a play to blame it on their opponents, to somehow it's my fault that inflation's going higher. Somehow it's the corner grocery store's fault for charging high prices. But either way, it's certainly not going to be their fault based on what we've seen in the past.
Well, that's what I keep hearing, though, that they're price gouging because, you know, the greedy gas company, gas stations are taking advantage and raising the prices. I know you're laughing, but tell us why you're laughing.
I'm laughing because these businesses are holding on by the skin of their teeth. Yeah. When input costs go through the roof, just consider the crude oil and gas prices that we mentioned a second ago. Those are going through the roof. That's involved in everything. Everything has to be transported. Everything has to be produced, and it takes oil. It takes all these input costs. So a corner grocery store who's trying to make ends meet, and they don't know when the next bout of 10% inflation is going to kick in too, now considering it's reaccelerating again. So every one of these smaller companies is hanging on by the skin of their teeth. I just described how the restaurant industry is, and restaurants are closing all over the place because of these same forces. The notion that, and if you ever did find a spot that companies had the luxury of price gouging, it'll take me 5 minutes to explain why the government caused that by creating hurdles and moats for this businesses and making lack of competitive. Because in competitive businesses, you can't price gouge because the place down the block will then undercut you and take all your business. Okay. So it's every problem we have is caused by government. I don't want to be this guy who's the big government basher. It's just they make it so easy.
Yeah, and Jim, my good friend Eric Bayless, I don't know if you know him, Big Onion Hospitality. He has like a 1,000 million restaurants throughout.
1,000 million?
No, I'm
or
joking.
Just
a he's got million. He's got a ton.
That's
a
math term.
That's
Amy.
A math term.
It's a high level math term.
But I hear this from him all the time. I watch some of his the stuff he posts, and he's just flustered. But let's talk about. I mean, when you look at. I think what it was the last 11, 12 weeks, unemployment insurance has been showing the same economic factor or number. What gives with that? What is this administration doing, and what are they trying to convey by showing that the unemployment number is staying at the same number?
Well, I love that you got into the labor numbers because they are the greatest story ever told. You know, it used to be the Easter story. Now it's the labor story in our country right now. Full-time jobs have been going down for a year. Part-time side hustles, Uber drivers and hosts at restaurants have been going through the roof. So many of these are second jobs, people trying to make ends meet, that the whole notion that our labor picture is improving is complete nonsense. If you look just under the hood for 1 second, the quality of jobs we're producing,
exactly.
Government jobs, education jobs, healthcare jobs have gone through the roof. Huge disproportionate increases over the last 2 years because they're trying to paper over the fact that our economy actually is declining, not expanding, like they say. And again, I will go back to this fact. Every government economist who comes out and tells you how great an economy it is, I want someone to raise their hand and go, I got a quick question. If the economy is doing good, why is the government spending like drunken sailors? Because every Keynesian economist will tell you that in times of economic slowdown, that's when the government borrows money, increases spending to try to take the sharpest edge off the recession. Well, why are they doing it now? Out of the same side of their mouth, they're trying to tell us that the economy is expanding and everything's great, because it's not great.
It also sounds like it's an election year, too.
Yeah.
It's on the way to you, because you know, they're also talking about selling more of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve,
right,
which they've already sold out half of.
We depleted.
Trying to push gas prices down. I wonder why they'd be doing it right now in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you suggest it's because of an election. How dare you?
Well, are they going to fill that up? Fill it back up?
No. They're not going to fill it. They're the worst traders on the planet. What kind of trader has, you know, 300 million barrels to buy, and they say, yeah, we're going to buy it as soon as it goes below 70? Well, guess what the market's going to do? They're going to defend that level.
Yeah.
The way they traded it is comical. But they're not going to fill it up anyway, because filling it up isn't – they just want to drain it to keep prices as low as they can before the election. If they are able to pull this sleight of hand and wallpaper over every pockmark in the wall before the election, I believe the hangover that's going to happen in the first quarter, second quarter of next year is going to be legendary.
Real quick before we let you go, let's talk about the housing market. I know a lot of Chicagoans want to move, but they're locked into a great mortgage rate of 2.75% or 3%. And I don't think, I mean, why would you bother selling your house?
You're not. So this is something that's going to be taught in monetary policy classes for the next 100 years. Never before have we, in a 10-month period, more than doubled mortgage rates. We took them from 3.25% to 7.5% in a 10-month period. So what they wanted to do was keep people from the demand down. They wanted to break up demand to lower the price of housing. But what they ended up doing is completely locking up the supply from the mechanism that you just described. No, people are going to hold on to their 3% mortgage like grim death instead of moving. So it changed a bunch of people's plan, and it locked up the supply, so housing prices went higher, not lower. Now couple the fact that for a 14-year period from 08 to 22, we were creating new housing at a lower than historical average pace, creating part of a supply problem too. And again, that is government regulation. The reason they can't, that builders don't build $200,000 houses in the Chicago suburbs, is because the regulatory hurdles to build those are probably about 80 grand baked into that. So the only way that they can make any money is if they build the $600,000 McMansion. So the government sits back and goes, well, why isn't there just nice, small, affordable homes? Because it's their fault. Just grab a mirror, look in it, they'll know who caused it.
And they want to tax them on that, so the million-dollar homes tax.
All right, Jamiria, we're going to have to leave it there. Host of the Futures Edge podcast, and, owner of Brandt's, which we should be going live from one of these days.
Yeah.
We should do a live remote.
I should do my show live.
You should do your, you know what?
Yeah,
why don't
on
you
a Saturday.
Two chat
yeah.
after the show sometime, and you should, yeah, on a Saturday from 4 to 7.
As long as the tacos keep coming.
It's oh, yeah.
tacos.
Give him my number.
All right, yeah. We'll do. Thanks, Jim, as always, and he joined us on our turnkey.proanswer line.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
All right, please tell me that you saw Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, phew.
Come on now.
Well, because you never heard the song Total Eclipse of the Heart last time you were here.
No, I didn't.
I'm like, okay.
Let's, I'm okay
you know
with
what?
That.
Let's not go back to that. Okay. Molly Ringwald.
Bring up the past. Okay.
Who was your favorite character, by the way, in Breakfast Club? Was it Molly Ringwald? Was it?
Of course it was Molly Ringwald. Everybody loved Molly. God.
Why am I blanking on everybody's names?
Was
who else?
Was
Justin, can you help me out? Or Quinn? It was
John,
Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Come on. His dad's a famous actor.
Okay.
Oh, this is not a... Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
Anthony Michael Hall. Oh, what's her name? The one... Ally Sheedy. I think that's her name.
Paul Gleason.
Yes. Did I get it right, Justin? Yes, he's giving me the 80s seal of approval. Well, Molly Ringwald spoke at a forum yesterday. And she says those movies she made were a little too white.
Oh. Those movies, the movies that, you know, I'm so well known for, they were very much of a time, you know? And if you were to remake that now, I think it would have to be much more diverse. And it would have to be, you couldn't make a movie that white.
Why?
Now, no, those movies are really... really very white and they don't really represent, what it is to be a teenager in a school in America today. I don't think so. Yeah.
And then people like, kind of cloud, like,
oh, she's trying to make herself relevant.
But Breakfast Club supposedly took place in Glenview.
Right.
And back then Glenview was very white.
Yeah.
Wilmette was very white.
Yeah.
16 Candles. And they did have an Asian kid in there.
Amy,
what was that guy's name?
I don't remember. But I loved Breakfast Club as much as I love the Five Heartbeats. All black cast.
Yeah.
So why can't you?
I don't know.
Who says
if
we can't?
If they remake 16 Candles or Breakfast Club, I'm not watching it.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
The name was Long Duk Dong. That was the Asian character in 16 Candles. Because we were just talking about Molly Ringwald and saying, you know, we need to have more diversity in the cast of Breakfast Club, and that's not a good representative of high schoolers today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, back then, Glenview did not have a lot of diversity back then. Sorry, they didn't.
No, I'm sure
I grew up in neighboring Mount Prospect, and that was not going to be the case. All right, moving on. John Anthony, by the way, sitting in for Dan Proft. Why are you wearing glasses?
In honor of Nick.
In honor of who?
Nick, your volleyball player.
What? Well, no, they wear glasses, goggles to protect themselves from. They're playing the senior assassin game, which really has been quite problematic, where people take squirt guns and try to shoot another senior with water.
Oh,
but in one case, well, there was a rollover accident in Itasca, and everyone's doing it. It's not just CPS, the whole state is doing it. There was a rollover accident in Itasca. Thank God they survived.
That's dangerous.
And then kids in the suburb, and I don't know what suburb, so shame on me, but they walked into a pancake house, and they had masks on, and their water guns looked like guns. And someone with a concealed carry got out his weapon.
Yeah.
And thank God he didn't shoot them. But seriously, I mean,
That's
I want
insane.
This game to go away.
That's not a good game.
Yeah, but the people that I know have the big neon.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it looks like a water gun.
But they have fake guns that look real.
I
mean, real guns that look fake.
I know.
They're real guns, like Hello Kitty and things of that nature.
Really?
I wouldn't, yeah.
There's
you haven't
a Hello Kitty weapon?
Yeah. People soup their guns up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You've never seen a Hello Kitty?
A Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty.
Do they put decals on the 9mm?
No, it's literally, I don't know if I've seen I've held a Hello Kitty 45 in my hand.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. And people will put all type of stuff on their weapons.
All right. Moving on.
And they're right.
Is our House Speaker Mike Johnson moving on? We don't know. Uh-oh. And it's been back and forth. And what is going on with more of this? Let's welcome to the program Congressman Mike Bost from the 12th Congressional District.
Amy.
Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Just before you move off the other subject, I considered buying my wife Tracy a few years ago a Hello Kitty concealed carry weapon, but we thought with grandkids that would probably not be wise, so she got one that looks like a real weapon.
See? Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to Google images this and
see
what they look
like. All type of cartoon characters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Who knew? All right, first of all, congratulations on your victory. It's been a while since we spoke.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a very competitive race. We worked our tail off over all 34 of the counties. We ran a positive campaign. It was closer than what a lot of our polls showed. That could be for lack of turnout smaller turnout on the west side than the east side when we analyze it. But we thank our constituents for sending us back, and now we have to get focused on general.
Well, how was your relationship with Darren Bailey?
You know, he called while I was on stage announcing we had won, and then I tried to call him back. He then didn't pick up. Then he called me back with a nice message. We better have a very good relationship, or at least I hope we will, because we're both delegates for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And Darren Bailey's a good dude.
Oh, yeah. I was just surprised that he challenged you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. And believe me, that's what I brought up quite often on every Lincoln Day dinner and everything else. And so the way it went down, I got every endorsement of every conservative group and the president. Trump's endorsement, and he—it was a nice and Trump endorsement. He said nothing negative about Darren, but explained why that I was 100% with him when he was president, and always have been. And so, anyway, so it turned out well, and we're gonna, like I said, our focus has to be on gaining more seats in the House, so that we don't have to play games with the fact that certain people want to try to, every time we turn around, make a motion to vacate the chair.
Well, there's a lot of rumors coming out of the D.C. Rumor mill right now. What is going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Speaker Johnson?
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, and I want to say this, and I want to say it as nice as I can. I'm not bad-mouthing Marjorie, but there are certain people. Marjorie is one, and Matt Gaetz would be one, that when their numbers start falling, on their likes, on their Facebook page, they need something else to do to bring them up. She didn't agree with the speaker on the possibility of, I think, separating this question and or bringing all of these things forward. The week before the attack on Israel, by the way. Mm-hmm. But then I thought maybe she would back off when she got back here. But then, also Massey got into it with the speaker. And the thing is, you don't really get into it with the speaker. The speaker's not going to fight with you. He's going to deal with what he's going to deal with. He's going to try to make peace with you. But then sometimes these moves, though they were legit within our rules, and I hope your listeners understand that, you know, the motion to vacate has been in place for over 200 years. It was never used except and the only time it was changed was when Nancy Pelosi became speaker. She then changed the number from one single person could make the motion. But the only time it was ever used in our history was when we had a speaker from Illinois by the name of Joe Cannon, and he actually made the motion on himself.
That
motion on him, yeah, to show that he still had power. And he ended up having to go to the Democrats to keep his position. But anyway, he proved it. And then if you go forward, then we, at the request of Freedom Caucus, it was put back. And it was put back. And then Matt Gaetz and his group were the first one to use it on Kevin.
Right.
But we've got to see. And so there's a whole group of members that are asking to have that withdrawn.
Yes, please.
However, the speaker had changed back to possibly five members, so that way it can't be that vicious threat with a small majority, you know. But what the speaker tweeted out yesterday, X'd out or whatever you want to call it now. It takes a majority of the entire House to change the rule. It doesn't look like that you would have those votes. And since you do not have those votes, we'll move on with the rules the way they are. And so there's still a group wanting to call for it. And there's a group, I think, that actually is probably looking at Democrats to do the same. Because, look, we saw what happened when Kevin was taken out. And everybody says, oh, that was 3 weeks of terror. No, it took 12 weeks to get us back on track. And so we don't need to go down that path again. Look, we've got a farm bill to pass. We've got to focus on what this funding is for Israel, working with our allies, whether Ukraine or Taiwan. But we've got to start governing again and quit fighting among ourselves.
I definitely agree, Congressman Boss. Congressman Boss, as I look at the Mike Gallaghers, the Ken Bucks of the world, especially how Mike Gallagher is leaving his congressional seat in Wisconsin. I believe today's the deadline. If he wanted to resign today, Wisconsin can still hold a special election. Why do you think the Mike Gallagher is doing what he's doing? And is this somehow connected to a Kevin McCarthy retribution type thing?
No, I don't. I think what happened is, I think, and Mike is a very good man, and he'll hold to his convictions. His convictions and his way he votes might be different than mine, very right. Seldom, but on a. I think the thing, and you're going to be surprised by this, but I watched him that day when we were together. He's not told me this, so I'm not talking on turn. I'm talking, okay, watch what I watch, Mike.
Okay.
He, you know, he's the head of the China task force. He's an unbelievable legislator. And I think that he was frustrated that the Marcus impeachment vote, and he took a lot of heat because he did not go with him for the vote to impeach. His argument was that the impeachment is not to be used this way. If you want to really talk about it, all Marcus was doing is following the orders of the commander in chief. And if that might be the problem, but he took a lot of heat on that. And I think he finally became frustrated because to somebody to claim, you know, when you take one vote and then all of a sudden the whole group comes out nationwide and says, oh, you're not a real conservative. Well, no, you're maybe disagreed on one issue.
Right.
Was it a big issue? Yeah, it was. But I think that day is when he realized he doesn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. And
too bad because I begged him to stay.
Because I mean, he resigns today or after today. I don't know what officially his day is, but that leaves his seat open until November.
Special election, correct?
Right, because they can't have a special election before the November election. That we now have. So now, from April to November, his seat will remain open. Correct?
That's right. That's right, and that puts us down to until we have a couple other special elections going on, which we're pretty sure are Republican seats. So for a few weeks, we will be down to a one-vote majority. Mm-hmm. Then I think we'll pop back up to a two and then a three before we're to the next primary.
A strong Republican running for Mike Gallagher's seat?
It's a Republican seat.
I mean, it's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's
guaranteed.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The three that we're counting his, the three will be those ones that if they turn Democrat, That'll shock everybody.
Yeah. But
they're as strong a Republican seat as mine.
Yeah. See, I had Richard Porter in the studio with me last Saturday. And, you know, this is my fear. We motion to vacate. We get rid of Mike Johnson. And then you get three Republicans who are they have a hard election coming up, especially if they're in a dominant Democrat area, and they defect. And then now they make Hakeem Jeffries the new Speaker of the House. That's quite possible, right?
Sure, that's possible. That's possible. The frustration that we're feeling around here, and the thing is, I think there's a group. As long as they get their likes on Facebook, they don't care, because it's not. Look, John, you and I worked together several years.
Yes.
And whenever I govern, I'm governing for the future of my children and grandchildren in this nation.
Yeah.
And you've got to do that. Yes. It's not about getting on a 24-hour news network. It's not about getting likes on a social media page. Quit that. Let's govern. And the sad thing is, a lot of people take just bits and pieces. They take and they trust you and you said something, but you don't. They try to back it up with half truths. And look, governing's hard.
It is.
It is. But when you're in the majority, you have to govern. When you're in the minority, you can communicate. That means you can say, no, I wouldn't want this, and I wouldn't want this, I wouldn't want this. But when you're actually the ones that have to deliver getting the bills across the threshold, and which including, you know, funding to operate government, making sure that we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do in the Constitution, providing for a national defense, securing our borders. There's a good one. You know, all of those things. You know, and when it comes to we work on a lot of things, including farm bill and things like that are in the interior of the nation as well. But, you know, interstate commerce, that's on the Constitution. The rest of it is just operation of government. You've got to know and understand. We can argue and disagree, but we don't, you know, conflict is inevitable. Combat's optional. Mm. So, unfortunately, we have more that want to go to combat against each other.
All right. What are your thoughts? You're a Trump delegate. What are your job responsibilities? How's it looking out there?
Well, we're out. We're all for as far as the state's concerned. You know, we have phone calls or have our proxies call in and collect all the information that we're needing to do with trying to get out the vote. Illinois is, you know, we're doing everything we can to make sure that the president's people don't, you know, write it off. We want to make sure that we get people involved. And, you know, the numbers are looking good in the states that he has to have to switch what happened last time. Of course, we also want to make sure that, you know, understand the federal government does not control the elections.
Right.
And regardless of what the Democrats want to do, according to the Constitution right there, the state legislatures set how the elections work. And so when I have people come up and go, well, you got to do something about voter fraud. Well, no, each state has to do something about voter fraud.
Right.
And we in Illinois haven't necessarily done a good job with that. You know, back, you know, the for years it's been the joke about Chicago that, you know, you vote Republican and then you die and then you'll vote Democrat the rest of your day. But, you know, and so as far as being a delegate is concerned, it's making sure you're there, making sure you're organized to have your votes together. And with this one, there's not, you know, sometimes you can get involved and there might be an undercurrent of some of those that want to flip the delegates or something might happen or anything like that. I don't see that. We're united, even to the point that, you know, I mean, like the case in the Illinois 12, you know, Darren and I ran against each other, but we're united on Trump.
Right.
So,
and Congressman, I know a lot of people don't know about H.R. 2, and it's our border bill that the House Republicans passed.
Yep.
That's sitting in the Senate. But here's a question. Do you understand the angst of people when they see us trying to send money to Israel, to Ukraine, and we have an invasion on our own border?
Sure.
And has sure. Joe Biden led us to World War III with the now Israel now attacking Iran?
You know, I do not believe, first off, we're going towards World War III, but you can't tell a free and sovereign nation that is your best ally that just tried to have 300 missile strikes sent at him that and a 7-year-old child killed that they can't have sensible strategic retaliation and we can't even say we have to say it's your battle. We are not in it with you. We joined you to knock them down. That's fine. But you've got to make those strategic. It would be like someone coming to tell us what we should have done after 9/11.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we have to allow them to do that. As far as providing aid for Israel, let me tell you, and I want to say this very, very clear to your listeners.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not, we are a superpower. Yes, we need to secure the border. We've done everything I know how to do, but whenever you have a president, first off, he didn't need H.R. 2. I'm glad we sent it to him, and I'll be glad to vote for it again. I voted for it three times,
right,
or twice, and they're talking about we're going to vote for it maybe this week again. To send the message to people, we're doing everything we can do. But when you have a president that, first off, didn't recognize the problem, then when he does recognize the problem, he doesn't have the answers. But the answers are you got to replace and do exactly what you took out that President Trump had put in place. I know that for a fact. And so we'll give the money to do that. But when it comes to Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan, we are dealing in a world where the threats to our nation are just knocking at the door, and it is much better to keep them outside the porch and not standing at the inner door. And so our investment, first off, I trust our money we invest in Israel because they don't abuse our money. We know where it goes.
Okay.
The problem with Ukraine is, I don't know, I've got to really study this bill here for the Ukraine because we have not had oversight to make sure it's being spent wisely.
No, and see, 60 Minutes reported that the first $70 billion, was used to support their small businesses.
I know.
We have companies here. We have, you know, we had Jim Urio on. We have a lot of small businesses and family-owned restaurants that could have used that money.
You're
sending it overseas.
And the thing is, that's what oversight must be from Congress and in the law, that if we're going to give them that money, we get to do the oversight, that it goes for beans, bullets, and Band-Aids to make sure that Russia doesn't come over, take them first, and then start expanding their borders even more with other countries. And then, you know, the situation, like I said, with Israel, we've never had a problem. We know where that money's going, and you know, remember this, and this is the trade-off we've had with Israel. A lot of the technology that we've gotten is from a joint with Israel. So the technology that's in the Iron Dome, in David's sling, and an arrow, is also the technology we use on the front of the ships that are floating out there. That was why we were able to intercept so many missiles.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, this is how we work with Israel as their closest ally, because they have some of the best technology, and they study this, and so do we. Don't get me wrong, but now in the case of China, the bad thing is they get some of our technology quite often, but they steal it.
Yeah.
Right. So. All right, Congressman Voss, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Very informative conversation. 12th Congressional District, and also a Trump delegate, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. The dude, as our mayor called him, some dude from the suburbs, is going to try and get a petition drive to collect 56,000 signatures to put the question on the November ballot on whether or not Mayor Johnson should be recalled. Here's Mayor Johnson.
It's some dude from the suburbs who's mad about the diversity and the formation in which we have put forward. You know, we've had mayors close schools. We have mayors who have shut down public housing. We have mayors who have woefully underfunded many of the public assets that we are working to establish and build. You know, so any individual that is somehow insulted, you know, by this progressive agenda that, quite frankly, is being led by one of the most diverse cabinets in the history of Chicago.
Who cares about diversity? I mean, so what? You're diverse. Congratulations. And then yesterday he mentioned that the extreme right is behind this. Oh, really?
As I understand it, you know, that, you know, apparently, you know, the extreme right wing in this country, they're not very pleased with the fact that 60% of my administration are women, that 43% of those who make up my administration are black.
I mean, as a black man, John Anthony, are you getting kind of sick of this?
Blackish.
Oh, you're blackish.
Remember, that's what I've been told by other black people.
Oh,
I'm not black enough. I'm just blackish.
Oh, that's nice.
So I make fun of it.
Okay. Well, let's bring the dude on. His name is Daniel Bolin. And I think this is your first time on our show. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Amy. Yes, it is my first time on the show, and, you know, I look forward on this beautiful, sunshiny day to put some sunshine on the mayor.
So are you an extreme right? Are you an extreme right-wing conspiracy theorist?
No, not at all. You know, Amy, I compare it to golfing. When I go to golf, I spend more time in the woods than I do on the fairway. But when I am on the fairway, I'm right down the middle, you know. Right. And so I'm not right-wing at all. I vote for, like most people, I vote for the person who is running for the job, not necessarily for the party. Because at the end of the day, if you get elected to something, you have to work with everybody. And people expect four things. They expect good government. They expect direct democracy. They expect accountability. And they expect transparency. Somewhere between the move of Mayor Johnson from the Cook County office to his mayoral office, he lost transparency and accountability in one of the boxes, or they just haven't unpacked it yet. So, you know, I'm just waiting for that to happen. And I guess that's more of an answer than you wanted.
But, well, no, that's fine. But what was the final, the final straw where you're like, you know what, I'm going to put this petition drive together and start collecting signatures?
It's been a number of things. This has been building in my mind for a long time. It's it all comes down to crime and safety for me. You know, we have armed juvenile thugs running our streets at all hours of the day and night. They're harming our citizens, and the mayor is doing nothing about it. They're more worried about ceasefires in Gaza than they are about ceasefires in Englewood or Roseland or, you know, any of the other 71 neighborhoods here in the city. And our safety comes first. Our citizens come first. And so it's been accumulating, but I think just, you know, this whole thing with the funding for the migrants, but not just that, it's been a lot of things. But the turning point for me was is just his lack of honor and integrity. For a long time, though, I've felt that we've needed recall. And so as I've been, you know, look, I subscribe to Twitter and I read about these things, and people keep saying, we need recall, we need recall. And then people will say, well, Illinois law says we can't do it. Well, Illinois law says actually we can, but this is the mechanism that we have to do it. And if you take a look at what's going on in Dalton, they tried to recall their mayor, but they didn't do it properly. So we're going to do it properly. And then if people want to recall the mayor, that's on them. It's not a personal attack. It's a it's just about good government.
Yeah, but Daniel, help me understand the geography. Last I checked, okay, Lakeview was in Chicago, not some right. dude
I
from
know.
Suburbs.
Yeah, yeah. Who did he confuse you with?
Well, for someone who was a teacher and apparently never did homework, he never learned to do homework himself before he opened his big mouth. And so the thing is that I have a pretty common name. There's a lot of Bolins running around here in the Chicagoland area. And he may have confused me with someone from Berwyn or yeah. Schaumburg or somewhere like that. Daniel and Dan are pretty common names as well. So they just didn't do their homework.
Now,
and, you know, go ahead.
Now, Daniel, let's get to the meat and potatoes of recalls mm-hmm. and petition drives. One of the hardest things to do in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois is to get a petition completed and onto the ballot that's not Democrat led, because I mean, every other initiative that's been tried has been kicked off. And one of the biggest reasons why is because of the verification of signatures. What team are you putting in place to ensure that all these signatures are valid? And have you started the process, and how many signatures have you gotten thus far?
Well, I haven't received any signatures back yet, mostly because this just all popped 2 days ago, and we were just planning to release this on 424 with a press conference down at City Hall. And so haven't received any back, but we're going to go out and get some this weekend. And, you know, the Cubs are in town, so hopefully I can go stand in front of Wrigley Field before the game and get some signatures. They have to be registered Chicago voters in order to sign the petition. But really, this is, you know, this is Chicago in spring, so it's do-it-yourself season. So I'm hoping that we can get people to download from recallthisfall.com the petition itself, sign it, and get 9 of your friends to sign it too if you live here in the city, and then send it to the address that's on the website to get it started. As far as, you know, the verifying the signatures and things like that, that will come in time. But I can tell you, since this story broke on Wednesday, I've had so many people reaching out to me, mostly because my information was leaked on Twitter, my personal information. So they've been calling me, they've been texting me, things like that. And, you know, that was a blessing in disguise, because I am now talking to people from all over Chicago, Democrats, Republicans, Black Chicago, White Chicago, Latin Chicago. Yeah. You know, we have people from all over, and so I don't think we're going to have a problem. Our friends who were at City Council the other day addressing the mayor, their group, which the name escapes me now, they reached out to me yesterday, and Mrs. Lawrence reached out to me, and so we're going to work with her and her group to get, you know, people who will verify those.
Yeah. Do you have to be a registered voter, or just prove that you're a resident of Chicago?
You have to be a registered Chicago voter.
Okay.
And we all know how that works, right? Like, you can live in one place and then move to another place and still be on the rolls.
Still on the voter rolls. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, so if you're on the voter rolls, you know, you can do that. Yeah.
Now, watch for the saboteurs who will be out there getting signatures. And that's why I'm telling you, listen to me carefully. The verification process is one of the most important parts of this, because I don't know any citizen-led ballot initiative that has made it to the ballot, and I don't know how long, in Chicago and in the state of Illinois, because of the what happens at the, you know, how they go about the signature verification. I'm telling you, have a team in place, and it says you need 56,000. I would get 500,000 signatures if you can.
I don't disagree with you on that one, for sure. And, you know, really, if we can get that many signatures, that's going to keep the people down at the city clerk's office pretty busy for a while, and it'll keep our team busy to you know, cross-check, right?
Okay.
But, yeah, we definitely want to get as many as we can. But the minimum is 56,464. So, yeah, that's, you know, the small goal, but the stretch goal is 500,000.
All right, two quick questions. You're not working alone. You have a team, right, that's helping you get signatures?
Well, this started off as just Dan Boland, and I reached out to Governor Quinn to help me write the petition, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. I have a sister who's a lawyer, but she lives in New York. And so, you know, I don't know anything about this stuff. And so he was gracious enough to help me with that. We had some people who have joined on who are very good with getting petition drive started up. A lady by the name of Andrea Rayla, who ran for Cook County Assessor. Her team is putting together stuff. So we're growing, and we have people that are asking to join the team every day. So
vet them.
You know,
yeah.
Vet them, because they'll send them in to sabotage it. Vet them thoroughly. Trust me.
Okay.
Listen,
he's a former state rep.
I'm a former state rep, but I've also been involved in politics. I'm 48 since I was 5 years old. I was part of the Chicago Daily Machine. I'm telling you, I've seen all the tricks and everything that they do. So vet whoever comes in on board. This is right up Governor Quinn's alley, too.
He doesn't have an opinion, but he believes in direct democracy. Yeah. That's why he helped Daniel. Right. And also, Daniel, is any Republican super PAC group paying you secretly under the table for this?
Nobody's paying Dan Boland anything for this. As a matter of fact, I've got money invested in this, and I'm unemployed right now. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to do the best that I can to not only find a job, that's number one priority, but the other thing is to you know, hopefully recoup some of my expenditures for getting the website up and getting a mailbox. You know, I did have one person who I'll keep anonymous, but it was a tax attorney out of Evanston who gave me a donation so that I could get the P.O. box.
Oh, that's the White Ring extremist. Any threats? Have you gotten any threats?
You said that your information's out there.
No, I haven't gotten any threats yet. You know, I live in a secure building. I did go to the security people, downstairs and let them know that anyone from the press or anyone who's coming to see me, they should call me first. That's the policy in our building anyway. But if they look suspicious, they should probably call the police
or whatever.
All
right. And I do the
interviews outside. I did an interview with Channel 5 yesterday. I went over to Lincoln Park.
Smart man.
And so there's witnesses, and you know, listen. Here's the thing. I'm trying to do something good for the people of Chicago. I can't imagine that someone's going to try and take a shot at me.
Oh, brother, this is Illinois politics.
What if they do? Yeah. Well, I don't have a beanbag, right?
This is down and dirty.
Yeah. But I can't think of a better cause to get hurt for. It's democracy, and sometimes you got to fight for democracy. And I don't go out of the house without some protection of my own.
Okay.
You know.
Good for you.
It's not concealed carry. I don't carry a gun, but I do have a FOID card, and you know, I have protection if I need it. So yeah.
All right. So to get involved, go to recallthisfall.com. Is that correct? Is that the website?
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No. So I go to recallthisfall.com because I want to sign this petition.
Okay, terrific. So, you go to recallthisfall.com. We have a copy, a PDF file that you can download and print out. It has to be printed on 8.5 by 11 paper, according to the city of Chicago. And, you know, they all have to be the same size. So go out, sign it. They're going to ask for your signature and your address. Mm-hmm. And then you'll print your name, just like you do on all these other things. And then if you have 9 friends, then which most people do, ask them to sign too if they live here in the city.
That'll be a fun conversation with my neighbors. No, all of my neighbors except for one voted for Paul Vallis. So I think we're in good company.
I think we're in good company. You know, I live in a building with a lot of seniors, which is why I was concerned about the security for them. But a lot of them are Fox News people and voted for Vallis too. And I think if you look at the voting trends for Bring Chicago Home and for the state's attorney's race, I think that's where we'll do well in those wards.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're focusing first. But listen, we're going to be at farmers markets. We're going to be at street fests. We're going to be at music fests. We'll finish off at Lollapalooza, I have the feeling, because that's right before the date when we have to get these in. But we'll be taking the petition right up until August the 5th, which is the deadline for getting these in. So, yeah.
All right.
And anything that, you know, people have questions on, just go to recallthisfall.com, and then they can put their questions there. And I'm a party of one. It may take me a few minutes to respond. The other day, I was up until about 5:30 in the morning when this first broke, trying to, you know, get answers to everybody. But
doing a great job. It's your civic duty. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to say, I've lived here 33 years. So for someone to think that I didn't abandon the city and I didn't grow up in some other city. Well, I did grow up in another city, but I came here to make a difference in this city, just like the mayor did. And for him to say that I'm just some dude from the suburbs.
He's actually the dude from the suburbs.
You need to make a T-shirt.
He's from Elgin.
I know.
He's from Elgin.
And apparently only taught in the Chicago public schools for a year, never gave out homework. Apparently never did his homework either. And his chief strategy officer said this was a half-baked right-wing idea. I think the only one who's half-baked is the chief strategy officer.
All right, Dana Bowen, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll have you back, and good luck with your petition drive.
All right, my friends. Thank you.
Thank you. RecallThisFall.com, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is The Morning Show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Friday morning. Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy. And sitting in today is John Anthony.
Hey, hey, hey.
We have a very special guest
today.
Yes, I believe in chance meetings, so I knew who you were because we have the same divorce attorney, Tracy Rizzo, by the way. She's the best in the business. But I met you on Sunday, or no, was it Saturday?
Saturday.
Is your microphone
on?
No,
it's not on.
You got to turn his microphone on. Wait, can you help him out there?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, I need you to.
Hit the red button.
Hit the red button.
Is it lit up now?
Hello?
No.
There it is.
You
yeah,
go.
You're on.
Right. Don't touch any other button.
Hey.
Okay. You're great. But I met you Saturday at a open house at a church. Wine and a church tour. I'm like, oh, I like God and I like wine. Well, this is perfect. And because we have the same divorce attorney. Yes, sir.
A wine and
there's a wine tasting.
Okay.
Like a wine
fundraiser
walk.
At the church. And I can't, it's a Polish church. It's Catholic. What's the name of it?
Oh, St. Maria something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's in,
gorgeous.
Right off of Chicago Avenue. So. And you told me you ran to your car and you got this book, Ice Water, Please, My Life as a Proud Alcoholic and a Formula to Help One Person Stop Drinking Forever. So I started reading it. I am on page 13.
That's not bad.
I thought I was a little further along, but I'm very busy. I get home late and have to get up early. But I love this book because everything you talk about are places that I know. It's a real neighborhood book. So let's start with this. How were you first introduced to alcohol?
I grew up in a neighborhood that, obviously, in north side of Chicago, people drank at a very, very early age. And I would say, like, to start at 13 years old, you're a late bloomer. And it was at when I started at like 15 years old. Do you remember Chicago Fest?
Oh, I do. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there
John,
was like,
remember that.
It was like really called, it was Drunken Teenager Fest, right?
Yes.
And before that, my mom was taking me because I wanted to see the Scorpions.
Uh-huh.
I love that band. And before the concert, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was in my in the basement of my parents' house. And remember they used to have Chivas Regal?
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have the bottles that kind of flipped over with the big bottles. That was my first drink, was a shot of that.
Dang.
And because I wanted to get ready for the concert. And I had that shot, and I'm like, wow, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I did number two, quickly number three.
Oh,
and as I remember, like seven or eight of them.
Oh.
And next memory I have is my mom crying over me, and I'm laying in bed. You know, obviously, Scorpions was over. I didn't make it to the concert. And all I thought about was, this is the best feeling in my life.
Really?
I was sick, but I was like, how can I feel like this again? This is great.
Wow.
My mom is very angry with me. That sucks. However, I got to do whatever I can to feel like this again.
Wow. So in your book, you talk about like the last straw. So walk us through what happened that night.
Oh.
Because you'd been arrested before for DUI.
Right? No, this was the first. I went to a Chicago Cubs rooftop party. And I've been to like, I don't know, 50 of these. I don't think I've ever seen a pitch.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it's just drinking for me. And I hardly ever drink and drive. But in this particular case, I had my car.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very conscious of it. I had about seven or eight beers at the rooftop party, which was you know, obviously near Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I need to kind of take it easy here. And so I drove near my house, which was in Edison Park, to Zia's, which was a few of my buddies there.
I love that restaurant, yeah, by the way. Great. I go there all the time.
Great spot. Right. And so there was a few of my buddies there. I had like, I don't know, three or four single malt scotches. At that point, oof, I really was into that, which I love.
Wow.
And so now we're up to what, like 11 drinks?
Hey.
So there was a was like a members event at the Park Ridge Country Club, which I was a member at the time, called Play Day. Mm-hmm. And there, I got there like at midnight. I took my buddies with me. I probably had another, I'm going to say, 10 to 12 scotches there. Ugh. So now we're up to, what, 22 drinks?
Tolerance level.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could drink. And at that point, and mind you, the Park Ridge Country Club was a block and a half from my house. So now it's 3:30, and I decide to do the smart thing and drive home. Oh. And
instead of just walking, you could have walked.
Instead of walking, yeah. And because I didn't want to get my wife at the time angry with me. So, because I, you know, where's the car? And so I made it about a half a block, and I crashed my car, and I had to be taken out of there by the jaws of life, taken to Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, and they drew blood, and at the time it was 0.31. Which is almost four times over the legal limit.
It is four times.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so like the second highest blood alcohol in the history of Cook County, which I thought was a very remarkable feat. And at that, that's when, you know, my wife looked and said, Eddie, if you have another drink, I will divorce you. And, you know, I never had another drink after that, but still divorced me, but it's not the point of the story.
And you have a, so you've got a family, you've got kids.
Right.
Were you in the hospital for a long time?
I was in the hospital for 3 days. I had a bunch of like broken bones. But you know, I was still, I was lucky to be alive. You have seen a picture of the car. I don't know how I made it. Like, God,
and you're lucky you didn't kill anybody.
Oh, 100%.
Single vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, the car was totaled. I mean, it's a miracle I made it through that accident.
And then did you go to treatment for a month or what?
No. My lawyer at the time, Frank DeFranco from Park Ridge, the best, by the way, he said to me, hey, Eddie, listen, I know you don't have a problem, but, go to one of these AA meetings, would you? The you know, judges like that when they think you're taking care of your problem. I know you're fine. Don't worry about it. And he knew full well that I had a major drinking problem. He just, mm-hmm. like, didn't want to embarrass me at the, you know, and said, you know, just go to these, he goes, go to these BS AA meetings. It helps. And I'm like, all right, because I was told do whatever he says. I was in a lot of trouble. And I went to the meeting, my first AA meeting, and I told everybody, you know, hi, my name is Eddie. I'm an alcoholic. And that was super, super important to me because I had never, ever told anybody that I was an alcoholic. I never made it public, although looking back on it, 99.9% of the people that I knew I was an alcoholic. So, but... And I knew I was an alcoholic. I just was trying to, you know, hide this secret, or so I thought that I had, from everybody else, so I can continue to drink like I wanted to drink.
Gosh, we could have you on the show for an hour, but we're kind of up against clock. But in your book, you talk about that you have the formula to help one person stop drinking forever. Is this the AA formula?
Not
really. Or is this something
different? I would say the only thing...
We can't really get into the AA formula.
Right. No. And the thing is... You have to want it yourself. If you're doing it to get your wife back, to get a boyfriend back, a girlfriend back, to get a job back, It's not never going to work. You have to do it for yourself and yourself only, and everything else falls back into place.
What do you say to someone who's probably listening right now who, you know, they say, well, I'm not an alcoholic. What's your message to them about, and how would someone know that they are an alcoholic? I mean, you have 0.31.
If you're questioning whether you're an alcoholic, I think the answer is very, very, very simple. If you're thinking about it, you probably are one. Mm. There are consequences that have happened to you because of your drinking. And it's not just one or two. It's a lot, and they all have to do with your drinking. We were just talking earlier when you're saying the big saying that says, every time I've been drunk, I have not necessarily gotten into trouble. Every time I've gotten into trouble, I've been drunk.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
right.
Powerful.
So the book is called Ice Water, Please. My Life as a Proud Alcoholic and a Formula to Help One Person Stop Drinking Forever. Where can we get this?
You can get it on Amazon.
All right. Wait, real quick, what was it like? I mean, was this cathartic to write this book?
Oh, my God. It was the best experience of my life. When I first wrote it, my editor said, Eddie, you know, this is possibly the worst book I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah. She said, how many books do you want to sell? She goes, it was a collection of drinking stories.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she goes, if you want to sell 10 to 15 books, you did the best job possible. Congratulations. She said, you're supposedly the hero in this book. She goes, I can't stand you. Mm. I want to know who Eddie Arana is. And then I took every one of her 11 pages of suggestions and redid it, meaning she wanted to know who my family yep. was, what the reasons were yep. that I drank, how I stopped. I just wrote a collection of drinking stories that I thought were funny.
Right.
They are funny.
Right.
But, you know, it was really enlightening me. It became almost a love story of my parents. And my kids.
Yeah, you know, I help people write books myself, and I'm actually writing my own right now. And so that's what so many people do. They sit up there, they just tell stories.
Yeah.
No, people need to, as you're reading a book, people need to start painting that picture of the movie in their head as they're reading your book. And that's what I tell a lot of people to do. I've helped a lot of people write books, and
that's great advice.
Yeah,
I wish I would have known that when I started.
I know. All right. Well, such a pleasure having you come in, and I'm so glad that we met by chance at a church.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I was listening to the show on the way here, and I'm like, wow, there's so many intelligent people on this radio show.
Well, you
and
should
I'm like,
listen
well,
more often, Eddie.
Well,
like,
I'm just saying,
every
your streak is broken with me.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Here.
No, we,
sorry to say.
We like to feature real Chicagoans, too.
Oh, good.
Congratulations
good. Yeah,
to you.
And thank
how
you
many
very
years
much.
Sober have you been?
It'll be 20 years on
yes.
July 15th.
Congrats.
And good for you.
You're invited to my dinner.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. And he joined us in studio at the Signature Bank studio.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information. To start your day, it's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Open mic! Open mic Friday!
Ready, Tom?
Call it now! Open mic Friday!
312-642-5600 is our turnkey .pro answer line for Open Mic Friday. We'll take your calls. We can discuss anything. We could discuss about the differences in salaries between the NBA and the WNBA.
Oh,
you can help give Angel Reese a nickname because she's looking for one because
yeah.
she's coming here to the Chicago Sky.
That she is.
That's what I want to talk about. But first, we have to start with the sponsor of the segment.
Mm.
And that is our very good friend and very knowledgeable man,
Important.
David Kolsek. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, John and Amy.
Hey,
I'm a little bit, I mean, I have to say that was a very sobering segment just earlier, but I feel like I need a mimosa, right?
Will you stop it?
Sorry.
No, got a text message. Eddie was a great guest. I grew up near the Park Ridge Country Club in Edison Park, so I was right there understanding his story. Interesting.
Certainly. Well, it looks like spring has finally sprung around here, right? With the flowers and trees in full bloom And everybody that's got allergies, unfortunately, is also in full bloom. But it's nice to be looking forward to some warm weather and the promise of summer. I'll tell you, it's hard to be positive, pardon me, with so much negativity going on in the world. I wake up every day and I hope that today is going to be the day where we see the good guys win, right? Like I see some glimmers of hope, but I think people just want to see some wholesale justice. It's kind of strange how much that was just done to us as a people, and everyone just goes along, right? They shrug their shoulders and they say, well, we got to go along or we'll be in trouble. It's almost like they forgot about COVID, you know, the lockdowns, the masks, the shaming of the unvaccinated. And you look at those injured or killed by the vaccine and the lies surrounding that. It's safe and effective. Is anyone ever going to see justice for that? I mean, again, in my estimation, every government turned on its people at the same time during COVID, and the people did little to nothing. They complied. You know, sure, there were pockets of people like me who enjoyed not wearing a mask and getting yelled at by some booby from Highland Park for not doing so. But I was shocked then as I am now as how compliant the people have been. If COVID were an experiment for control, it was brilliant. And now they know how to suppress the people with fear. So I know you've heard the expression, a person is smart, people are stupid. Well, I'm here to tell you, people are stupid. So every day I just hope for some justice and the good guys to come riding in on a white horse to save the day. But I don't think they're coming. I think they might be waiting for people to finally stand up and say enough. You know, if that's what they're looking for, they're going to be that knight. Remember the knight from Raiders of the Lost Ark, growing old and waiting and waiting and waiting. I just don't see people collectively saying enough, but I hope I'm wrong about that. And I think over the last few years, we've seen enough evidence that neither the Republicans or the Democrats are going to legislate their way into anything productive. I mean, just look at what they're doing with everything. It's like nonsense. It's like their allegiance is to Israel and Ukraine and not the American people. Now, have you heard of the Everyone's a Spy bill?
Yes.
It's the renewal of Section 702 of FISA. This is kind of what woke me up when I started listening about this stuff way back in the day about John Solomon and stuff like that. But anyway, Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was enacted to make it easier for the government to address foreign terrorist threats. The law gives the government broad authority to run surveillance on non-Americans located abroad, but targeting Americans is supposed to be prohibited. Unfortunately, intelligence agencies have used legal loopholes to turn Section 702 into a domestic spying authority. We've seen them use it to conduct hundreds of thousands of warrants of warrantless backdoor searches of American private communications every year. So as of this week, it's going to get a lot worse. Buried in the language of the Section 702 reauthorization bill passed by the House just last week is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act. Under the current law, the government can compel, and this is quote, electronic communications service providers that have direct access to communications to assist the NSA in conducting the 702 surveillance. Companies like Verizon, T-Mobile, and Google must turn over the communication on targets, which officially must be foreigners overseas, but this has been abused to spy on Americans. They spied on Trump campaign, remember, before, during, and after, for heaven's sake. So listen to what these sneaky people on the House Intel Committee did. They changed the definition of electronic communication surveillance provider, and this change, passed by the House, expands the universe of entities that can be compelled to assist the NSA. It's really scary. If this bill becomes a law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist the NSA in its spying activities. And this is the kicker, and I quote, as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored. So these would be things like routers, servers, cell towers, etc. When that language was first introduced, one of the FISA court amici took the highly unusual step, sounding the alarm and saying, no, this isn't right. Civil liberties advocates said, hey, this would encompass hotels, libraries, and coffee shops. So they made exclusions for hotels, libraries, and coffee shops. But the vast majority of the U.S. businesses remain in fair game. So I believe that my company, Turnkey, here is fair game using that language. And that frightens me, not because I'm worried about doing something wrong or illegal, but that they can compel me and my people to become their emissaries and do their dirty work. This list would include barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, and any small business that provides Wi-Fi to their companies or to their customers via routers. It also includes commercial landlords that rent out offices, which would target journalists, wow, lawyers, financial advisors, healthcare providers, and anyone renting commercial office space. So the amendment even includes service providers who come into our homes, like plumbers, electricians, people performing repairs, and IT service providers, all of whom can be forced to serve as surrogate spies for the NSA and be required to give them direct access. What's worse is that none of them will be able to tell anyone about assisting the NSA because they were compelled to provide that. They would be under a gag order, and they would face heavy penalties if they were failed to comply. So having wholesale access to communications, the NSA would then be on the honor system to attain only the communications of approved foreign targets. And we know that they can't be trusted to do that. The Senate's supposed to vote on this measure this week as Section 702 expires today, but the Biden administration has also obtained approval to continue the current 702 surveillance until April of next year, even if it does expire. So call your senators now and demand that they block the Everyone is a Spy surveillance bill. Every time we turn around, they're taking more of our freedoms from us and turning us against one another. It's all completely by design. And I sure hope the good guys show up and deliver some justice, or that the American people will somehow stand up and say enough is enough. If you haven't done a segment on this very subject, John and Amy, you really should. It's an upside down world that we live in. It's crazy.
Yeah, we did touch on it a little bit and played some sound from Senator Rand Paul. I think he has our back on this.
I've been talking about it too.
Yes. All right, David Kolsek, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Weekend.
Always informative and entertaining.
Thank you.
Oh, he's really good at his job.
Yeah.
And also at IT, technology, and security. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 646-36, type in DA. I just have to get this off my chest.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. WNBA, the WNBA. Caitlin Clark is making $76,000 a year, a season.
For 2 months.
For what?
2 months.
Just 2 months?
2.5 months is what the WNBA season is. If I can make $76,000 in 2.5 months, bring it on.
Okay, all right, fine. But we have a big game June 23rd. I'd rather go to this game than any Cubs or Blackhawks game.
Oh, come
Bulls
on.
Game. No, no, it's Chicago Sky versus the Indiana Fever. And you get to see Angel Reese, who, by the way, in case you don't know, she was drafted by Chicago Sky.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, you heard Jason Whitlock, what he said about her?
What?
She's made it okay to be a woman again.
What?
He's Jason Whitlock. But basically how she's dressing like an actual woman.
She's gorgeous.
No, he was applauding her.
Okay.
He was applauding.
Well, we also got Camila Cardoso. Do you know who she is?
Yeah, the Brazilian.
She's that 6'7"
yeah.
woman. And she looked good too. These ladies look beautiful. But this one, who's that?
I don't know what Caitlin Clark had on.
Caitlin Clark, Prada, players wear Prada. Yeah. Prada sponsored her.
Oh, okay.
And clothed her, but I don't like that. Yeah. That's not her. Not her. But this woman,
Amy,
I'm talking about pictures that you can't see. Oh. This is what they call very interesting radio. I think Conrad told me that once. But this woman over here, whoo, she's hot.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know who's a big fan?
Who?
Mayor Lightfoot.
We love women's basketball here in Chicago. The talent has been there for years, and it's well overdue for them to get the praise that they deserve.
Yes, I'm with Lawyer Lightfoot on that one. And they should move that game June 23rd. From Wintrust Arena, they should move it to the United Center. They would make a killing because people from Iowa will come by the thousands. We will sell that place out. Why are you laughing at me? I'm going to that game.
Because, see that's a great thing. But you have all these people talking about WNBA, Caitlin making
$70,000.
How many of these people who are complaining ever been to a WNBA game?
I've never. I did go to one.
But they say
their first season, but I went for work.
I don't know if you were listening to the station on the way
boring.
In.
Yes.
Did you hear Officer Tatum? He said it perfectly.
What?
It doesn't excite me. Now he explained about Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that play when Luka Doncic stole the ball, threw it over. Kyrie was running, threw it over his head, and Daniel Gaffrey came and slammed it. Until the WNBA does that. Maybe I'll get excited to attend.
So I'm a hoopster.
Yeah.
I used to throw the rock.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah. And they changed the ball, by the way. Our junior year, they changed it. My junior going to senior year, they changed it to a smaller ball. So then we had to learn how to shoot all over again.
Ooh.
It's kind of like, we're like, what man decided this?
Because
I still have big hands.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Large gloves.
Oh.
But they changed it. We're like, why? We don't need it. We could play with that size ball.
Yeah.
But anyway. And the point of the story,
I don't know,
was that it's a different game.
Oh, okay.
So when I watched, you know, the NCAA finals for women's, that was so much more interesting than the men's game. I thought it was fast paced. Well, you didn't give it a chance.
No.
I've
NBA, tried. WNBA. One is a sport. Okay. One is a joke. I love sports. I love jokes.
Thank you. Thank you.
You just piped down there.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Justin.
Oh, my son's calling me from France. Okay. let's go to Tom. Let's not go to Tom first. Let's go to Ron on the South Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, John and Amy. Hey. I have to tell you this, Amy. We love you and Dad, but when you all need a break, you all do not miss a beat. A true sign of a great team is depth. But John Anthony, John Cass, and Charles Thomas are just great. I have to say that.
Thank you, Ron.
Real quick, to Mr. Boland and John, you hit it the Chicago way. I want to send him a check, but I don't want to hear later on he got a job at the Park District or Cook County.
That's the Chicago way.
Cook County Hospital. I might just sign the petition. Guess what? Yeah, he said he's unemployed. He's going to have 20 offers. So let's follow him, guys. So
Ron,
you all have a good day.
Rod, I hate you.
I hate you, Rod.
I love you, too.
I love his laugh. I've never heard Ron laugh. What did he say? Because I'm sorry, I took a phone call from my son who's in France.
So basically he's saying that, which I don't think so. I don't, but it was funny. Uh-huh. And I'm sure that Mr.
What's his last name?
He kind of called about the petition.
Daniel
Boland. He basically said because he said he doesn't have a job, the Chicago way is going to offer him a job at Cook County or Stroger Hospital or something to make him stop. I don't see that happening with him though.
I think he's gonna get a sponsor.
That was so funny.
Some Rod. Super pack will pay him something.
I can't stand you, Rod.
Since we're laughing, let's have fun and let it continue on a fun Friday. Kevin in Ogden Dunes, the Prime Minister of Ireland. I just took a phone call from Europe, so this is apropos.
Amy, she's 6'7". And she has legs up to heaven, you know.
He's talking about Camilla Cardosa. Yes, sir.
Correct. What is Joe Biden's favorite magician?
I don't know. What?
David Copperfield.
Why?
David Copperfield.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm blonde. You have to speak slowly. Yes.
Yesterday we learned that his plane was shot down. Uncle Bossy lost in the wilds of Papua New Guinea. But the White House denies any cannibal passed Uncle Bossy in the woods.
Those
Bidens, you can barely stomach them.
I needed this laugh.
Now, Mr. John Anthony, what is the first Irishman out in the springtime?
What is the first one? I don't know.
The first Irishman out in the springtime is patio furniture. And what does the cannibal call the overweight Irishman?
What?
Big Mac. And what is the dieting cannibal eat at McDonald's?
What?
I don't know.
The kid's meal, you know. The kid's meal.
Oh, God.
And, Amy, what is my favorite Irish Republican Army soldier?
Oh, I don't know.
General Crack Pottery. Shame on you.
All right.
Okay, now, the audience know? Does the audience know that John Anthony used to be a beat cop and he had a bunch of friends, the percussion friends on the beat, but now one of these friends works for the FBI?
Oh, really? Guy, what friend is that?
He spends all day online pretending to be a 12-year-old girl who's trying to meet up with the perverted men.
Huh? Oh, I got it.
We have no idea what he does for the FBI.
We appreciate your jokes and your phone call, and have a great day, okay? I mean, Prime Minister
Ireland.
We love you, too. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Patio. Furniture. Ooh. That was good. I mean, the President of the United States is telling the world that his grandpa, Uncle Bossy, was eaten. It's cannibal.
Hey, corn pop.
I mean, Biden's cannibal lies. He's a pathological liar. He's a plagiarist. He said he taught law school. He's taught at Penn.
He's lied so much. His mind is all
mumbled. Doesn't know what. But that is when the plane crashed in the ocean. Maybe he was eaten by a shark. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a cannibal.
Let's go to Eduardo in Tampa. Hello, Eduardo.
Amy, John, how's
What's
it going?
Up, brother?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to comment these. I think we're up to like 50 women that have been punched over there in New York, and then you got these young people who are now putting their semen or taking photos underneath ladies behind.
What?
I mean, we really got a serious mental illness in this country. So hopefully, something that is going to be dealt with. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble.
Yep. Thanks, Eduardo. Appreciate it. And right. Did you see the video too? This blonde student at University of Chicago was walking down the street, broad daylight, and this dude jumps out with a mask on and a hoodie, and he had a gun, and he's trying to take her phone. She managed to get the magazine clip out of his weapon.
Whoa! She just pushed. Yeah.
She pushed the thing. I mean,
yeah. But he still had one. Chambered probably though.
I don't thank God she didn't get shot. And she said, next time, you know, if that happens, just give them what they want.
Yeah.
But there are, and I want you to see this video. There are two dudes just sitting there watching
way.
It. One guy, he's on the grass and his arms and his, you know, he's sitting on the grass and like, oh, not doing nothing. And another guy is right by his car standing there like, oh, I wonder what's happening.
Well, look at what happened with Daniel Penny.
That scares me.
Look what happened with Daniel Penny, though. People are afraid to engage and get involved because, you know, they face manslaughter charges.
We need men to be men and protect the women.
Yeah. Well, these betas.
You got to see this video. I'm going to show it to you.
These betas and these awfuls won't allow men to be men. So people are afraid to intervene because either they're going to get sued if anything happens. That's why I didn't knock the homeless guy out. I would have given him an uppercut that would have knocked him clean out. But what if he hit his head and died? Just saying.
I don't think Alvin Bragg is not going after. He's going after Daniel Penny and President
Trump.
Yeah,
you mean Alvin, give me the bag, Bragg?
Yeah. Why give me the bag? Give me the bag of cash?
Money. I guarantee you something happened with all these people.
Well, Trump was saying, too. He said Biden's team is in working with the DA during his trial.
Something else.
He goes,
going
I can see them. They're, you know.
And they've all been to the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to all these. All this happening.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
That's Fannie.
Come on.
Fannie Willis.
Letitia.
Love a boy.
Letitia.
Letitia James has been there. Yeah. Fannie
Alvin.
Willis has been there. Alvin Bragg's been there.
And
they're all colluding together.
Letitia
to take
was
down.
With the vice president, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't she partying she was with the vice?
Yeah. They went to.
Yeah, okay.
They got their groove on together, if you know what I mean.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Do we go to Tom in Blue Island?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Amy, how are you? Happy Friday. And John, I know it's April.
Yeah, it is April. Let's move.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. That's an inside joke.
Inside baseball.
Yes,
all right, what do you got, Tom?
So last night, Mike Johnson was on the Mark Levin show complaining about how he has a one-vote majority, and that's why he has to work across the aisle with Democrats, which Republicans all know now that working, or at least Trump supporters do, working across the aisle means Democrats get 99% of what they want and Republicans get 1% of what they want, which is fine. President Trump had 2 years with a House majority and a Senate majority, and he fought
all right.
everyone by himself. His own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, if you remember, John, he recused himself from being Attorney General because of the phony Russia collusion hoax, which we know was a hoax now. So why did he recuse himself? Trump spent 2 years without an Attorney General. Now, you guys had whoever the gentleman was from the House of Representatives on about an hour ago.
Yes.
Right. Now, Mike Gallagher is not stabbing the Republicans in the back. He's stabbing them in the front. All he had to do is you tried to get an answer out of him, John, but he wouldn't answer. All he had to do was leave last week or something, and they could have had a special election, and there'd be another Republican. But no, He had to wait until they couldn't have the special election. And this representative you guys had on, all he could say is how honorable of a conservative Mike Gallagher is, while he says Matt Gaetz and MTG are only concerned about whites. Well, here's a little treatise for these Republicans, and I understand he's a Trump supporter now. He made clear, I'm a Trump delegate now. Of course he is. Was he a Trump delegate a year ago when everyone was saying Trump wasn't going to be the nominee?
He was the first one to endorse Trump from Illinois, the very first one.
That's fine. I'm not questioning. My intention isn't to question. But here's the thing.
All right, Tom, hurry up. We got to take other callers.
All right. The reason Trump supporters, even if Gaetz and MTG are wrong, and very possibly they are wrong, at least they're fighting. At least they're willing to stand up and fight. I'll let you guys go. You got
all
other
right.
callers.
Thanks, probably. Tom. Appreciate it. I don't know about that.
It's April, Tom.
Text messages. I love when the Chicago Sky had their parade and nobody showed up. Remember that?
Hey, that's proves my point.
Oh, look, there's a cluster of seven people. Get video of them. Hurry.
Proves my point.
Dan and I had so much fun with that. But now that Caitlin Clark is in the league and we have Angel Reese, text message. Reese's nickname should be Fallen Angel.
Hey, did we forget Lisa? Let's see. Lisa Leslie. She could dunk too.
Parker, who?
Candace Parker.
Candace Parker was good. Leslie. I'm sure this.
They
Camilla
said that about all these people. Oh, it's going to revive the WNBA. No, it's a bad product. I'm sorry.
It's going to get better. Just be patient. Sean in the Northwest Side. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. I just have a quick question. Mm-hmm. For the LGBTQ two spirit plus, what does the plus mean? Like, does the plus mean they add a part?
Every other
case,
one.
Why isn't there a minus? Because they take away parts too. Like they need to incorporate that into their alphabet thingamajigger they got.
Perfect segue, Amy.
Yeah, well, we do. Thanks, Sean, for the phone call because we do have a new gender and it's called gender season.
Do you know, however, there is a gender identity that is linked to the seasons? This is called gender season. And this is a gender identity I've only just learned about. It's a micro identity. It's not an identity that I have ever heard discussed before. It's a new one for me. Gender season is an individual who explores their gender identity in relation to a season or all the seasons. So this might be somebody whose gender expression and identity is linked to one season. So for example, winter. Or this might be somebody whose gender identity and expression changes depending on the season.
Got that?
Okay, Amy.
Yes, sir.
I'm headed to my bank today.
Uh-huh.
I identify as a billionaire.
Oh, okay. So you're
going to
walk
in. I'm going to go in there and tell them I have $1 billion in my account.
Uh-huh.
I identify that I have $1 billion in my account. What can they say? It's a hate crime if they don't allow me to withdraw money, right?
Oh, my God.
It will be a hate crime because I identify that I have $1 billion in my bank.
I've said my favorite story comes out of the Netherlands. There was a 68-year-old man who was ripped. He was in shape. And he went to the judge. He goes, but I identify as a 40-year-old man.
Oh.
He wanted his age changed on his birth certificate. And he said, well, why won't you? You let that guy become a girl and that girl become a guy. I will identify as a 40-year-old man.
Wow.
And the judge wouldn't do it. All right.
You know, adults, do what you want. Be who you want. Just leave the kids alone.
Mike and Hammond, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy, this is for you. As soon as the men who can't make it in the NBA start identifying as women and take over the WNBA, they'll get paid.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, then it's over. If they.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
if not, but when?
With at least one guy.
It's happening.
Oh, it's not if, it's when that happens. That's going to destroy whatever grounds that they covered and made up for the WNBA.
This isn't funny.
Thanks,
but
yeah, and
yep,
yeah, and all the big sports deserve what they get.
Did you see the Caitlin Clark, Mike. That she is the first man because of her Adam's apple? Did you see the memes that were going around?
Oh, that's so.
But did you see it?
Yeah, she doesn't have a big Adam's apple.
I mean, she has.
Well,
pronounced.
We all have one. It's not that bad. Stop. Caitlin Clark is a woman.
I'm telling you, the memes that are out there.
And she's not
I don't
a
know
lesbian.
What she is.
She is so gracious to her other teammates. It's never about her. She's like, oh, I'm so glad to be joining the team. I played with her at U.S. Nationals, blah, blah, blah.
I'm not saying
okay.
it.
Okay, and Michelle Obama is a woman.
I've met her.
She's a woman. I've seen her. I've been swimming with her at East Bank Club. It was her and Barack and Sasha and Malia and me and Andrew and Russell.
TMI.
No, I'm
kidding.
But I'm saying.
No, she is a woman.
Yeah. That whole thing was so weird.
Yeah.
God. Pants buckle sometimes, okay? Nancy in Northbrook, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to mention Wednesday when you had the professor from Clemson. He mentioned the occupation, and you didn't have a chance to challenge him on that, but there was no occupation in Gaza when they started the war on October 7th, and they brutally massacred 1,200 Israelis. And you just can't let people get away with that statement without challenging them.
Okay.
When they say occupation, a lot of them really mean all of Israel. They have never accepted Israel as a state. And Israeli soldiers who have left Gaza and come back, they have said that every house they went into had a map of Palestine without Israel.
Right.
And so I would just ask for people who aren't as engaged, you know, as perhaps I am, you need to challenge people when they talk about the occupation.
Okay.
Good point.
Thank you, Nancy.
Hey, Amy, can I want to give a shout out.
Thanks, guys.
I want to give a shout out to Christina Clausen, who's now the Will County Republican chair, and to my good friend, who we go way back to the police academy. I was his leader in the police academy. Patrick Sheehan, recently being sworn in. He replaced Tim Ozinga as state representative. He's going to be a good one. He's a cop.
Oh, good.
Plainfield cop, Lockport alderman. I just want to say shout out to them both for winning last night. And Jed Davis becoming my county, Kendall County Republican chairman. Kendall County is in good hands now.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
And Will County.
All right. There is some hope.
Yes.
Manny on the south side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
You know, there's this show called The Vermont Hillbillies. I thought these people were never come to, to real life. And these people have normalized the hillbillies.
Oh, yes.
I haven't heard you in a while, Manny. Where you been hiding?
Where have you been?
I'm here. I just listen and I kind of comment when I see the need. But, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Thank Manny, you. For calling right, in. Manny. You're welcome anytime. Let's see. Carol in Moments, Illinois. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, good morning. Hi. Amy and John. You know, with all the men in the sports, women's sports, I think you ought to have a category for MMS. That's mediocre male sports.
Oh, okay. That would solve the problem, maybe. You used to think you'd want a separate category for trans people.
What do you mean?
Remember
Thanks,
Carol.
Listen,
there's not enough trans people to field a team. But in cycling it would work.
Amy, women have fought for how long to get to be separate but equal? They fought for decades to do this, and then to have somebody who's a man come in and try to take over. And think about it, Riley Gaines, she was just here.
She was great.
You know, did you hear about the woman who's a trans? Well. She's an actual woman playing football as a man.
Ooh.
Got hit one and they creamed her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Got creamed.
And earlier we started off the show talking about furries at Utah High School. Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah, is allowing trans men to play in women's sports.
No, I'm not with it.
Yeah, he is, and that's why he's being primaried.
Create their own league.
No.
I'm just saying.
I'm not giving up gym time to that nonsense. I can barely get enough gym time as it is. David in Winnetka, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. John, always good to hear your voices.
Thank you.
So a couple months ago, I just want to correct the wrong here. I'd called in the topic was slavery, and I had mentioned what I thought, how many people came to North America, how many slaves in the transatlantic slave trade came here. I said it was roughly about 400,000. I wanted to hear how many people you guys thought came here.
John, you want to field that question?
Here from where?
From Africa. But 12 million people left Africa. Liz?
Millions.
How many people came to this country?
Millions.
This country?
Millions?
You got to look that up, and that's what I'm calling. Truly, 368,000 people came here. 10 million went to Brazil. Rio. I've been to Rio. Everybody's gorgeous there. The men, the women, everybody. 2.5 million went to the Caribbean. And of that 2.5 million, 368,000 people came here. That is it. By the time slavery had finished or stopped, there was 4.5 million.
Okay, I thought you were talking about leaving Africa. Okay, okay. You're right.
Thanks.
Correct. But there's the North and a South America. Correct. You know what I mean? Correct. And yeah. Cool. And the other one quick thing too.
Yes, sir.
So, do you guys know what it's called when a woman has a sex change?
No.
An atidectomy. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Chuck and Delvin, close us out.
Hey, I want to thank again week after week that David Coles, the guy mentioned in my garage band, high school. I need a mimosa. Hey, everybody, come today. I'm running for the United States Senate. I got to get 2,500 signatures. Today, I'll be at the Sullivan Gun Show. So come and see me today or tomorrow. And then Sunday, I'm taking a day off from getting petitions. Uh-huh. And I'll be dancing at the Geneva Tap Room from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. with the D-Light Duo. So come and see me. And, you know, if you're a woman, I'll go ahead and I'll dance with you. It'll
All right.
Fun.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and good luck with your Senate race there.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.